Delta Mike. Delta Mike. Delta Mike. Delta Mike.
Message 4. 214. 214. 11. Group. End. 15. Group. Attention. 214. 214. 11. Group. 99901. 99901. 78151. 78151. 27756.
All right, this is it. 1983. This is called First Footing. I present to you the new year is our current single. It's called Hungry Like the Wolf.
Thank you. afraid of the big bad wolf? Big bad wolf, big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Fa la 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 la. Long ago there were three pigs, little handsome piggy wigs. For the big bad, very big wolf, they didn't give three figs. Number one was very gay, and he built his house with hay. With a hey hey toot, he blew on his flute, and he played around all day. Number two was fond of jigs, and so he built his house with twigs. Hey diddle diddle, he played on his fiddle, and danced with lady pigs. Number three said, nix on tricks, I will build my house with bricks. He had no chance to sing and dance, cause work and play don't mix. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? Big bad wolf, big bad wolf. Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? La 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 la.
To the Insomnia Stream, Wolfthal Edition. Holy God, holy God, the physiog on these two, right? Holy God. Anyway, I'm your host, of course, Devin Stack. Hope you're having a good, nice weekend, right? Nice little cozy weekend. It's Saturday. By now, many of you have already abandoned your New Year's resolutions. At least that's what they say. It usually lasts until right about now. Now is when a lot of you are saying, fuck it. I'm not going to work out anymore. I'm going to eat pumpkin pie for breakfast. Or I don't know. You're going to... I'm gonna do the heroin this time. hopefully, none of you guys are that weak. None of you guys are like that. I don't know. I understand the human's desire to put anniversaries to things. You know, put like almost like a like making it so that there's some kind of significance about the fact that it was January 1st instead of improving your life like on January 3rd or October, 11th or, whatever, right? Like, why does it even matter what the date is? But for some reason, humans do seem to enjoy attaching significance to a number on a calendar. And if that's what motivates you, so be it. Right, I guess in a way it makes sense, right? It kind of appeals to the OCD, right? It's a clear slate. Now this is it's all about 2025 now. It's a clear slate. Start record keeping again. So don't fuck up. Don't drop it. If you got some good resolution that you started, don't give up. And here's the other mistake a lot of people make. Probably because of that same OCD. They think if they fuck up a little bit, they're like, oh, well, I might as well not do it now. I might as well not do it now. I was doing good for 2 weeks, but then I missed like a day and then 2 days. And, ah! I guess I'm going to be a fat fuck forever. Ah! Or whatever it is. Don't let that thinking sneak into your head. Or it's like when people screw something up and they're like, oh, well, I guess, and they have to create like another momentous day, right? They have to have another momentous day in order to start doing things. They can't just be like, wow, I fucked it up. So now I got to wait till I'll start Monday. I'll do it again. I'll have this weekend off. I'll just eat food or drink alcohol or do drugs or I don't know, whatever your thing is. And then on Monday, starting Monday, that's when I get serious about it. You don't have to do that. It doesn't make any sense to do that. You don't have to wait for a specific, you know, reset on a calendar or on a clock in order to make life-changing decisions or just general life changes, I guess. So hopefully you guys are sticking with it, whatever it is you're doing. Hopefully you're hanging in there. It's tough. Anytime you make a life change, yeah, that's what separates us, you see? That's what separates us from those with low impulse control. So you can't complain about groups of people with low impulse control, and then you yourself have no impulse control. That's one way to think. In fact, I think I had a hyper chatter recently say that, because I had mentioned once just offhandedly, but apparently it helped them. They said, once, you know, Devin, once you said, and I forget if it was like food or cigarettes or whatever it was, right? But once you said that next time, we'll just say it's cigarettes. Next time you want a cigarette, just imagine you're reaching for that cigarette and the literal merchant meme is extending his hand with that cigarette in his hand going, here you go, goy. Here you have the goy slop, goy. And once you see that image in your head, it's hard to be like, yeah, thanks, Shlomo, for this. Don't fall for the trap. Don't fall for the trap. So hopefully you guys are all hanging in there, being strong. Because we got to beat these fuckers. We got to beat these fuckers. We got to beat these fuckers. And they're good at... They are good at pacifying the goy. They are really good at pacifying the goy. Which is hard to believe, you know, again, given the image on the screen that... people like this would be good at anything. So, if you don't know who these people are, or if you're just listening, the people on the screen are a couple, a Jewish couple, you know, out of Florida. It's the Wolfthal family. Family, I suppose you could say. The wife on the left there, she's really good with kids. In fact, she was a teacher. She was a teacher. And the one on the right there, well, first of all, the one on the left, her name is Jennifer Wolfthal. And the one on the right, that's Joseph. He's an engineer, I think, for Lockheed Martin. Yeah. They really like giving back to their community. They adopted 3 kids. And in fact, the mom, in addition to being a teacher, she's also a children's author. She writes books for kids. So it's nice to see people giving back to the community like this. Yeah, except for, I forgot to put this clip in. I'll just pop it in now. Here we go. Except that it's kind of not nice.
Noon, a Seminole County couple accused of brutal abuse and neglect of three children have pleaded guilty. One of them was a children's book author. West 2's Bob Hazen was at the Seminole County Courthouse when the man and his wife were sentenced to prison.
Investigators say this couple viciously beat their children, didn't get them medical care, and barely fed them. They pleaded guilty here today, could have faced more than 100 years in prison, but instead, they got a fraction of that.
Oh, good. They must have had good lawyers. They must have had good lawyers. So, really horrific story. I got a hold of the arrest affidavit. Which I haven't actually read yet. And I know the story, but I haven't read through this. I thought I would read it here with you guys. So this is from, I believe it was 2021. Yeah, 2021, January 26th, it says there, where the arrest happened. They just now pled guilty to lesser charges. They were going to face charges that would put them in prison forever. And instead, they will, well, I forget what their sentence is. We'll go back and look at that here in a second. But it's, as the local news reporter said, it's a fraction of forever. I guess everything's a fraction of forever. So this is the arrest report. Let me scroll through here. On Friday, January 1st, 2021, at approximately 14:30 hours, I responded to Advent Hospital located at 601 East Rollins Street, Winter Park, Florida, for an undetermined medical issue. And then it's redacted because the children's names are redacted because they are all underage. Upon my arrival, I met with the child protective investigator in the hospital lobby and was told the circumstances of the hotline call. Blank had been transported to Adventist Hospital Alamante by her, I don't know why they blanked that out, but this is her adopted father, I guess, Joseph, the cross-eyed goon. Upon being examined by emergency room personnel, it was determined that Blank was critically ill and needed to be transported to the Rollins Street location. While at the hospital, I spoke with Joseph to determine the incidents that led up to Blank's current condition. While speaking with Joseph, I determined that there were two other children in the home. Later that evening, based on my conversation with Joseph, Jennifer Wolfthal was placed under arrest, and the other children, Blank and Blank, were transported to the hospital for medical treatment. Blank is currently hospitalized with staph infection, sepsis, renal and liver failure, open infected wounds on both legs, and pneumonia in both lungs. This, for those of you not following this, what happened was the cross-eyed goon, the cross-eyed goblin Jew, brought a kid into the hospital and said, "I don't know what happened. They like fell or something. I don't know, they were fine a second ago, and they like fell or something." And the doctors looked at this kid that fell. Right? I think they're all girls, but I'm not positive. "Oh, she fell, huh? She fell and got a staph infection, sepsis, renal," which is kidney and liver failure. "And then also when she fell, she got infected wounds on both legs and then pneumonia in both lungs." Oh, it makes perfect sense. Makes perfect sense. Thanks, Goblin Jew. Good thing you adopted these three kids back in 2014. Blank was released from the hospital after approximately 1 week and was treated for skin infections, open wounds, bruising, and malnutrition. After approximately 2 weeks, Blank was treated for open... Oh, I already did that part. I guess it keeps going. Treated for open wounds, skin infections, malnutrition, and refeeding during her hospital stay. I don't know if that's feeding tube or what that is exactly. Sorry, my voice is kind of like crack. I feel like I'm getting like puberty spurts here a little bit. It's real dry, and my throat's a little dry. As soon as Blank and Blank were able, they came to the Kids House Advocacy Center for follow-up interviews, and a care plan was given to their foster family. The staff of the Kid House Advocacy Center completed interviews with two of the three juvenile children that had been entrusted to the care of Joseph and Jennifer Wolfthal through adoption. I observed the interviews of Blank, a blank-year-old, like the ages from what I've read, and again, it's all redacted, so we don't know for sure, but it's been reported by other people that it's an 8-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 11-year-old girl. So I don't know exactly, and it was also reported that at least some of them were adopted. Maybe the one that's in the hospital. Maybe I don't. This is all guessing, but let's just say it's the 11-year-old. I think the 11-year-old was adopted in 2014. So like I think as a baby, or at least that's the way it was reported. I don't know, and I don't know about the other ones. Back to the arrest report here. Blah, blah, blah. The staff of the Kids House Advocacy Center completed interviews with two of the three juvenile children that had been trusted to the care of Joseph and Jennifer Wolfthal through adoption. I observed the interviews of Blank, a blank-year-old, and Blank, a blank-year-old, and Blank on separate dates prior to attempting to speak with Joseph regarding to the disclosures that were made. And if they don't cover them in this, I've got some notes here from other reports. Blank started her conversation with the Kids House staff by saying that both her Blank and her Blank, so talking about her, this is one of the kids, one of the girls, is talking about her adopted parents were, quote, not nice, and that both Joseph and Jennifer would spank her in the same spot to the point of drawing blood. Both Blank utilized a specific item that was described as being oblong and covered with fabric and was used regularly to deliver corporal punishment. Blank called it a whacker. Blank reported that she did not want to go back to her mother. I'm going to just, I know where it's mother and father, so I'll fill that blank in. And on several occasions, she referred to herself by saying that, according to her mother, she couldn't stop sinning, which we later learned was what she was told any time she was punished. You know, it's funny, they always have, Jews always like to do the Hollywood trope of the crazy, over-disciplining, Christian family, right? They're always like this, just don't think about girls. That's your naughty parts. Like the serial killer creating psycho mom that makes everyone in the house like feel dirty about sex. They have these tropes that they always trot out as the origin story of serial killers and psychopaths. And I don't think there's a single movie. I don't think there's a single movie about a not so great parent that's Jewish, Certainly nothing like this. Certainly nothing like this. Blank said she would be punished not for going to the bathroom at the proper times. wetting the bed, not performing her exercises properly, and not eating what was provided to her. I learned that her exercises were squats that she would have to perform in her room standing near her desk. The food was a mixture of bran flakes, cereal, water, and vegetable puree. Now, I don't know if that means they just literally, like in a blender, put bran flakes and vegetables and water and then, you know, like made like some kind of gruel. Like, here's your fucking gruel. But it's possible. the way that it's written here, it's possible. Blank said that there were days that she was fed twice, and sometimes she didn't eat her first meal until 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Blank told us that she spent the entire day writing sentences at her desk in her room. You're like this. You're like this because, right, it's always like the overbearing wasp schoolmarm, right? A la the opening of The Simpsons, right? Bart having to write on the blackboard, I will not blah, 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 you know, a billion times. She wrote the entire day, or spent the entire day writing sentences at her desk in her room. It should be noted that pursuant to a search warrant, I located over 1,100 paragraphs written that stated, quote, my body stays flat on the bed at all times. I was never given permission to move or say anything. Now I get to write about this along with everything else I do. I'm a fool, end quote. So that's what they were having her, this is what the Jew mom was having her adopted daughter write over 1,000 times. She was having them write over and over and over again, my body stays flat on the bed at all times. I was never given permission to move or say anything. Now I get to write about this along with everything else. I'm a fool. 1,000 times plus. There were over 10 additional sayings written multiple times located at the residence. So that was just one of the you know, creepy things that he found. Both Blank and Blank said that the main punishment occurred almost every night. That they would have cold water poured over them while they laid in bed. Neither bed had any bedding and consisted only of a plastic mattress cover and a pillow. So these, it's like a torture house. Like, they don't even get what you get if you get brought into prison. You know, like, it's worse than prison. And they're getting tortured. Like, the conditions are worse than prison, and they're getting tortured. Blank said that if she would have to drink some of the water from the, or the, she would have to drink some of the water from the puddle around her face so that she would have room to breathe. So they would lay the kids on these, like, basically these big plastic bags. Tell them they couldn't move. Pour water on them, like waterboarding them, essentially. To the point where they're in a puddle. In a puddle deep enough to where they have to drink enough, you know, some of the water, or they'll just be, they'll drown. Which explains why they had pneumonia in both lungs. Open wounds. I mean, they're beating all three of the girls with something called the whacker. They're feeding them some kind of weird puree of whatever the fuck. It's like, it's a horror house. It's torture. And who knows how long this has been going on for. Blank also said that Joseph would stand there and watch this take place, but would not help her. Additionally, Blank said that she would not be allowed. See, this is also typical. If you want to understand a lot of Jewish behavior, and why it's so female. Like the way a lot of Jews will joke, right, that they've got like an overbearing Jewish mom. That they get ordered around by their mom. And they'll often speak about their mom, you know, dictating their lives. You very rarely, if ever, hear Jewish people talk about their father as some kind of, you know, strong, you know, male role model in their life. And a lot of Jews do end up just being slaves to their mom or to their women. You know, and I guess especially, right, if you're a Jew that looks like that cross-eyed fuck, right? Like if you're a Jew that looks like this guy, so apparently he's just sitting there while look at the look of evil in that chick's eyes. I mean, you can't look at anything in the guy's eyes because his googly eyes are going all over the fucking place, but I mean, that's just fucking pure evil. Utter fucking contempt. Additionally, Blank said that she would not be allowed a blanket and there would be a box fan on the floor to act as additional cooling / drying and a noise cover so that she could not hear any of the interaction between Joseph, Jennifer, and her Blank. I don't know what that part is. Blank did say that occasionally she could hear, I think it says her, but hear, Blank and Blank scream and cry. Blank also told us that she had not interacted with her Blank or any other adults for several years. She had not interacted with any adults for years. They had them locked up in this fucking place. And that she tried to keep track of the days and months by counting in her head. I observed in the home on January 1st, 2021, that the doorknobs on the children's bedrooms were installed with the locking mechanism on the outside of the room. So in other words, the doorknobs are installed so that you're not locking people out, you're locking people in. So it was prison cells. Or as I said, prison cells would be preferable. Why? By the way, these aren't even like why? Adoption's not even like a super easy process. Why go out of your way to adopt children, go through that whole process to adopt children, and then imprison them and torture them on a daily basis? I mean, look, obviously child abuse happens in a lot of households, but this almost seems like she went to the store to buy herself some goys that she could torture. Now, I don't know, maybe these are Jewish kids. There's no way to know. But this didn't take place because my first thought was, well, is this town that they're in one of these, you know, super Jewy towns? Like they're in this Jewish community, so it's probably Jewish. No, they're not, though. The town that they're in is something like 1% or 2% Jewish. I don't know. Again, maybe they went through some Jewish adoption thing, but I'm kind of getting the vibe. She went to the store. I mean, really, not much different than the way the Yavapai in the last stream behaved, right? Yavapai went and massacred a white family so they could have two little white girls to torture. But I guess lacking in strength and courage, this ethnic group used the legal system to acquire their white girls to torture. I don't know. Like, I guess we'll probably never know unless one of them writes a book or something, but because it's all redacted. But, you know, kind of seems like that's what happened. They went out of their way. They got themselves some goy girls to torture on a daily basis. Maybe because she was a teacher, right? Maybe she was driven to the edge. Having to teach those filthy fucking goy kids all day. Day in, day out. Having to deal with those unruly goy kids. And she couldn't act out the violent fantasies that she had on them. So she had to get some at home. That no one would know about. It was clearly evident when talking with both Blank and Blank that they were scared to leave their rooms, even at night, to use the bathroom, and as a result would pee their pants and sleep in it on an almost daily basis, rather than risk leaving their rooms or communicating with each other. Good Lord. Blank said that she had not taken a bath in several months and that she occasionally heard the shower curtain and water being run in the bathroom next to her bedroom, but it was not very often. Just imagine the smell of that fucking place. You got three little girls pissing and probably shitting themselves. Being fed gruel, open wounds, not shower. I mean, it must have been a fucking horror house. Blank told us about the multiple punishments, but could not ever tell us what she had done wrong in order to be punished. Blank said that she knew a secret because she knew that Blank had a bad cold and couldn't breathe well. So they had told apparently, I mean, how would that be a secret unless she was told you can't tell anyone that your sister is sick? Blank also told us that she would ask Joseph for bandages for her open wounds after she would get spanked and that he would not provide any care for her. When Blank was asked to explain a regular day, she broke down into tears. Blank has bruises and scars over her entire body and was hospitalized twice since January, or January 1st, due to open wounds, skin infections, and dietary issues that are consistent with malnutrition. It should also be noted that I have been unable to speak with Blank due to her continued hospitalization. So one of the girls, the one that's all super fucked up, I mean, they're all fucked up. We don't even know what the horror shows that she could, because they were separated this whole time, too. Based on the information provided by Blank and Blank and the current medical condition of Blank, probable cause exists for Joseph Marcus Wolfthal, who is in violation of the following, blah, blah, blah. And they got cruelty towards child aggravated, child abuse, no bond, neglect, child with great bodily harm, bond, and then kidnapping, false imprisonment, child under 13. And that's the big one. That's the one that would have put him to get, you know, put him away forever. Because it's kidnapping when you lock, you know, you lock a kid in a fucking room. Like, literally lock it like a jail cell for months and months and months. I mean, that's kidnapping. Doesn't matter if you're legal guardians of the kids, that's kidnapping. And that would have been the big one that would have put them away forever. And I believe that's the one that they got rid of for the plea deal. But look, she's an author. This is her bio on Amazon. You know Amazon that banned my book? Because I'm a bad person. I'm such an evil man. This is the kind of author we want at Amazon. We want wholesome books written by people like Jennifer Wolfthal. Good old Jennifer Wolfthal. She grew up in sunny South Florida. As a child, you'd find her immersed in anything creative. Drawing, dancing, and playing teacher with her stuffed animal students. Makes you wonder what kind of fucking sick shit she was doing with those stuffed animals, right? This passion for teaching and creativity followed her into her adult years, as she graduated from the University of Central Florida with a BA in elementary education. For the next 8 years, Jennifer taught fourth grade in public school. Fourth grade. Anyone out there? Was that ever your teacher? Mrs. Wolfthal? During those years, she enjoyed instilling a love for writing in her students. Yeah, writing the same sentence over and over and over again, 1,000+ times. And found picture books to be a beautiful medium to accomplish this goal. She continued her teaching journey. Oh, it's a journey. Surprise, surprise, everybody. It's a fucking journey. Through homeschooling her own... she's homeschooling. Let me guess. This is going to be used as an argument as to why we can't allow homeschooling. Because these fucking Jews used it as an excuse to torture 3 girls nearly to death. See, that's why we can't have homeschooling, folks. We can't have homeschooling. We tried it. We tried to let you guys have homeschooling. But remember the Wolfthal case. We let you guys homeschool. You're just going to lock your kids up and torture them day after day, night after night, until they shit and piss themselves and have to be hospitalized. We've seen it happen. Look at the Wolfthals. They were white. That's what they'll say. Currently, she resides in Central Florida with her husband, Joseph, and their 3 children. And of course, this is the book she wrote. I tried to find a copy of it. But I of course, it's oh, look, little white boy gets along with the black boy. Of course, that's the cover. Of course it is. Oh, these fucking people, man. These fucking people. You know, I
anti-Semitism intensified.
Yeah, these fucking people. Anyway, yeah, I saw this. I mean, look. I saw this and was just like, all right. Okay. You know, we got, all right. Like this. I had to look into it. It's not the longest story in the world. We're going to talk about a few other things. It's not the longest story in the world. But it's also not a surprising story. And it's funny because you have a lot of people sharing this story on Twitter, a lot of conservative types. And none of them, of course, are going to point out the obvious. Or they'll make jokes like, oh, those people from Florida. Oh, those people from Florida. It's always, all those weird, kooky stories. It always comes out of Florida. And it's like, yeah, or there's something else here. There is another group that thinks evil things, fucked up things keep coming from. It's not Floridians. You know? Anyway, in other news, speaking of people that are quick to not recognize patterns, shall we say. Everyone's excited. All the MAGA people, all the same MAGA people who are freaking out about this music video that Snoop Dogg was in, that Snoop Dogg did back in the day. This was early Trump days. This was like 2017, 2018 maybe. He makes this video where he assassinates Trump and everyone's like, you need to put him in jail. The FBI needs to put him in jail. This is horrible. Well, now they're celebrating. Now they're talking about, just like all these other people that are sent, all these people that hated Trump that now love Trump. And they think it's because, oh, base Trump. Look, guys, we're winning. We moved the Overton window all the way to Snoop Dogg. Snoop Dogg gets it now. Look, guys, Snoop Dogg, he's going to be for mass deportations. Snoop Dogg, you know, he's all about, he's worried about white replacement, Snoop Dogg. You know, Snoop Dogg, he's MAGA. He's all the way MAGA now. As I'm sure has nothing to do with all the Jewish music producers he works with. But we got base fucking base Snoop Dogg, I guess, is now MAGA. Just like Mark Zuckerberg, who has rehabilitated his image by going on base Joe Rogan and talk about how he lifts. Oh yeah, he's like a bodybuilding Chad now. He's super MAGA now. Look, people fucking believe it. The fucked up thing is people actually believe this stupid shit. People genuinely believe that like this is like the winning can't stop, that we're totally fucking winning. And look, the delusions on both sides. On one side you got people who, well, we've talked about Q's still not dead somehow. I tweeted out the other day the Q-tard stuff that's still going on. In fact, let me pop this up. I was surprised, actually. I don't know. I guess I'll never be surprised. I think the Q stuff is here to stay. And I'll explain why here in a second. But I think the Q stuff is genuinely never going away. Now, Dan Scavino, who is the assistant deputy chief of staff for Donald Trump. I think he might be married to a Jew. Don't quote me on that. He tweeted out something that's just like a boomer meme, basically. Like, it's just a dumb boomer meme. It's like the equivalent of a Nike ad, you know, the Just Do It kind of ad, or like a No Fear t-shirt. It's like that level of meme, right? And this is all it is. Just don't quit. And then he blurred out the NT on don't and the QU on quit. So it says, do it. Do it. You know, just do it. Don't quit. Do it. And so what happened? Well, all the Q-tards have begun combing their pants and talking about how this is somehow fulfilling one of the Q prophecies, where it's a reference to do it Q. Let me bring this up. This is kind of fucking ridiculous, but it is what it is. This is how crazy it is. People are just getting fucking nuts. Here is some of the schizo shit that's being posted underneath it. This is the first post underneath it. Oh, look, schizo stuff. Look. Do it, Q. Look, if you circle one of the blurred letters and then the other letters, it equals do it, Q. Look, see? Total Q confirmed. Q totally confirmed, guys. Look at all this proof. Look, I posted all this nonsense shit. Like, look at this. This is a Q post. This sounds totally sane. You know, united we stand, strong together. We are honored. Anons are selfless, nameless, faceless, fameless, and fearless. We are grateful. Q. Well, good. That told us absolutely fucking nothing. Oh, so yeah, all the Q-tards are freaking out because of a stupid boomer meme. But it's not just the Q-tards that are freaking out. I think this is the Proud Boys, or at least that's the logo of the Proud Boys. I don't know if the Proud Boys actually did this. We got Proud Boys and, like, a lot of MAGA people thinking that, you know, Trump's going to get in office and it's going to be like the Fourth Reich. This is a overpass, I think, in California, where they, you know, oh, it's 3 days. Trump is back. You know, payback is coming, everybody. Payback is coming. But anyway, like I said, it's not just our side that's delusional. This is what's known as BlueAnon. BlueAnon. The other side is becoming increasingly delusional themselves. This is the leftist version of Q. And just like, remember when Trump was, when he lost. I mean, yes, there was voter fraud, but he lost, right? And he decided not to cross the Rubicon, as we used to say. He decided not to, he decided to give up. He decided to give the keys to the castle to the person who defrauded the system, because he was a coward and not fit to lead the country. He decided he would just walk away with his tail between his legs. But when everyone was refusing to believe that shit, when everyone was thinking that, oh, no, no, this is all part of some plan, right? This is all part of some plan. Trump needs to make it look like Biden's getting inaugurated. And then on the 20th, right, that's why Lady Gaga's going to be there, because didn't you know? Like, Lady Gaga's part of, like, the pedo elite. And so all these famous celebrities that are going to show up to the inauguration, that's why they put up all these fences and signs. You know, like, that's why, like, all of D.C. looked like a scene out of Half-Life 2, because what's going to happen is, right as they're about to swear in Biden, a bunch of, you know, Q-Team 5 is going to, like, you know, rappel out of helicopters above and you know, shoot everyone in the face, or I don't know what was going to happen, but something was going to happen, something big. Tom Hanks was going to be dragged out of his pedo dungeon and hung in the public square, whatever, right? But there was all kinds of these insane predictions. And this is why I thought Q would go away, because they were really super insane predictions. And some really, by the way, somewhat big names. In fact, the biggest content creators on BitChute at the time were all these kinds of Q-tards. Not just like one or two, like the top, you'd go to the trending page, the top five trending creators on BitChute were all these kinds of Q-tards saying that this was all part of some big show and get your popcorn out, guys, because it's going to be amazing to watch Trump finally pull the curtain back, and he's going to release the cure to cancer. Even people like Alex Jones were kind of like, maybe not towards January 20th, but you know, he was kind of leaning into some of this stuff in the early days of it. And lots of big names leaning into this shit. And then, of course, nothing happened. Biden got sworn in. Lady Gaga sang like a horrendous version of the Star Spangled Banner, I think it was. And then, you know, made Joker 2, which is, you know, that's the one time I kind of wish the Q-tards were right. To stop that thing from happening. But anyway, it didn't go away after the epic fail. It didn't go away after the epic fail. Just like, you know, flat earthers still believe in flat earth after the final experiment in Antarctica. Because it's just it's crazy people. The problem is, we got rid of the asylums. We used to lock these people up. We used to lock these people up for like crazy. Like, it's fun to look at some of the admittance forms from back in like the early 1900s of what they were putting women in lunatic asylums for being hysterical, which I find hysterical that we were just throwing she's a hysterical woman. Quick, lock her up, put her in the loony. I mean, can you imagine living in that society? It must've been wonderful. And we did that. We locked people up against their will for being crazy. And we had zero homeless people. Or you know, close to zero. I mean, you still had hobos and, you know, whatever, right? But you didn't have, like, the homeless people that we have today. You didn't have entire homeless encampments. You didn't have psychopaths just wandering around voting, because they were in lunatic asylums. And then we got rid of them in the 1980s. So all these people, like the flat earthers, these Q-tard people, you know, they would just be locked up. They'd be gone. But now they're part of society, and they vote. Anyway, so just to show that the insanity is on both sides, and it's eerie how similar it is. Like it's like a complete mirror image. Blue Anon and QAnon. Which in ways it's good. In one way it's kind of terrifying because it's like we're surrounded by psychos, like literal psychos, low IQ psychos at that. And you know, there's a lot of obviously downsides to that. Some of the good sides are if you don't think there's a political solution, it's hard to keep a society together when you have this many low IQ psychos running about, right? So I guess that's the silver lining, if you can want to put it that way. And as both sides get increasingly delusional, yeah, things will get more interesting in the news, let's just say. But anyway, here's a good example of a Blue Anoner. And just this is exactly the kinds of cube shit you saw back when in 2020.
He is not going to be sworn in, and he will not be our next president. How I know that for certain comes from the knowledge of some information I found out last night that I didn't know. You know, we all know that when Biden was sworn in, the one person not present at his inauguration was who? Donald Trump. He lacked the character to be there, to share in another man's joy, to have the character to say, you know, I didn't win the election, you did. But here's a guy that's been given everything on a silver platter his whole life. He was born on third base and thought he hit a triple. And he couldn't be at Joe Biden's inauguration. So what I found out last night is, you know, I'm thinking, when is Donald Trump going to be arrested? And now I know that he's going to be arrested at his inauguration. Because there's going to be three people not present there. They are Barack Obama, George W. Bush, and Bill Clinton, and their wives will not be present at Donald Trump's inauguration on Monday. They will not be there. Not just because they know that he's an asshole They don't want to be near him or around him. But because it's a security risk. It's a security risk that they don't want our presidents to be subject to.
It's literally the same shit. Donald Trump's not going to be, they're coping because they're delusional and they're just hanging on. They're just barely hanging on. You've got entire groups of people on the left who literally think that once Donald Trump gets elected, that the devil will be in the White House. And that's not too different from the Q-tards who thought that, I mean, look, Joe Biden's maybe eaten a baby before. I mean, I don't know. Obviously, as molested children, you know, his own daughter, namely. Yeah, like, these aren't good people. But, yeah, there's people. First of all, the boomers are just kind of fucked up. Like, if you elect a boomer, you're going to get some kind of baby eating in the White House going on. But, yeah, anyway, so you have the Q-tard just barely hanging on to reality. We're not even hanging on to reality. Barely hanging on to be able to, like, show up to work. And yet the leftists are just as fucking disconnected from reality. They have to believe in some weird superhero narrative. And I think there's two things going on here. One, you have the fact that we're not locking up crazy people. Two, you have no credibility from the media anymore. Zero credibility from and that's on the left and the right. The left doesn't believe the media for opposite reasons, but the right doesn't believe the media, obviously, either. So you don't have any kind of trusted source for information or a narrative of the day. Like, there used to be a kind of shared experience in America because of television. You had, two, three networks that you could pick up in most towns, and their narratives weren't wildly different. They didn't wildly depart from one another. You know, they would have a slightly different flavor. Maybe they would focus more on different stories. The competing news agencies, CBS, ABC, NBC, but they weren't telling radically different versions of reality. In fact, they were rarely telling different versions of reality at all. It was all pretty much the exact same shit with a slightly different hairdo. And people would watch this stuff and just accept that because the newspapers were basically saying the exact same stories that the television was saying. And they just accepted that, okay, this is what's happening in the world. I can now have a cohesive narrative in my head as to what's going on in the world and my role in the world, where I fit into this picture, which is a very important thing. People need to know where they, where they fit in. They need to have at least some kind of perspective as to where they fit into the big picture. Speaking of which, because you were not only sharing this narrative with all the other Americans that are going and watching the same television programs when they go home from work, they're reading the same newspapers when they get up in the morning, but they don't have a lot of communication with anyone that's much, even on a local level. Like, they don't, this is back in the days of long distance phone calls, and those were expensive. So even if you want to talk to someone that's even a couple of states over, it's like Uncle Jimmy or whoever it is. Like, it's who you're talking to. You're paying for it. You're paying like $1 a minute or whatever the fuck it was. So you're not even chatting with relatives that live a couple states over for very long because it's going to cost you an arm and a leg. And you might write letters. Maybe go visit on the holidays. But you're not traveling outside of your bubble. So everything's very localized, and to the extent that it's nationalized through the national media, the news reports, but it's also nationalized through Hollywood. So whether you live in Rhode Island or whether you live in Barstow, you're sitting there watching the exact same movies that all get released in theaters across the country at the exact same time. And that's also telling you a story about what the narrative is, what America is, what it means to be American, what we fight our wars for. What does it mean? How do we feel about social issues? How do we feel about, you know, things like immigration or immigrants coming into the country? Or the president, for that matter? What's our view of the FBI? As the, you know, how are they, because how many people are actually interacting with the FBI ever? Almost no one is ever. So your perception of things like the FBI, the CIA, that's all however they're shown in movies. And then you got, you know, obviously the fiction on television. Everyone's watching the same TV shows. Again, it doesn't matter if you live in Corpus Christi or if you live in Manhattan. Everyone's watching the same TV shows at the exact same time. And there's not a lot of variety. You have just enough variation to where you can kind of feel like it's like a department store. Right? You can bring a goth kid and a jock and a nerd to the same department store, and they can all find ways of accommodating their wardrobe that they think's making them unique, because there's enough departments in the department store to where they can kind of curate their clothing in such a way to where they think it gives them some kind of unique identity. But at the end of the day, they're all shopping at the same fucking department store. And that's basically how the ideology was being formed in the American, in the minds of the American public. You could be a little bit of a lefty and watch Maud. You know, you could be a little bit of a right wing guy and watch Fox News. Because this was maintained, I would say, for a while, even going into the early 2000s. Now, as the choices, you know, increased, even as we got cable TV and satellite and stuff like that, there still really weren't, I mean, there was a lot of channels, but a lot of the channels weren't, I mean, a lot of them were like just reruns of other shit. But there weren't like, you know, in terms of like ratings monsters, there were still only like a handful of networks that really were setting the tone. And you didn't have Netflix, where you could watch movies whenever you wanted, and there, you had this almost infinite library of movies. You had whatever was in the theater, whatever they were playing on TV, and whatever Blockbuster Video had. And most people were walking to the new release aisle. So you had this, again, it was all artificial. It was all artificial, but it was, at least, it was, like, it had a sense to it. Had a sense of itself. You know, it was a little, almost tangible. Like, it had shape and form. And again, simultaneously, while all this is going on, we're locking up the fucking psychos. We're locking up the psychos, and we certainly aren't giving them platforms to where they can, you know, congregate with other psychos and radicalize their psychoness. Like with the Q-tards and this blue-tard here. You know, some guy like this, some kind of psycho with some weird theory about, you know, Trump's getting arrested in 2 days or Biden's a robot, or because there was Q-tards for like the last 4 years that literally thought that Biden was like a robot or, you know, some version of that. And that Trump was really president the last 4 years, and that it was all some kind of show they were putting on because of some psyop, or, you know, like crazy people shit. And it used to be, okay, if you had, like, maybe one guy like that, you'd keep an eye on him and maybe put him in the fucking institution. But it was just one guy. You know, in your community, you had one guy you had to worry about. But now these guys get online and they find each other. And they convert, they make people crazy. Because, look, that's the other problem, too. In addition to this narrative unraveling, this common narrative that we all had in common by watching the same television, watching the same movies, and reading the same articles, in addition to that all just blowing up, where people are getting their news from all, you know, including me, I'm getting my news from all over the fucking place. In fact, that half the battle of getting accurate news is finding it, like the accurate source for it, because there's just so much fucking garbage out there, and enough people lack discernment to where a lot of the people are just slurping up the garbage. And there's like 1,000 different flavors of garbage. But at the same time that's happening, we shut down the crazy people housing facilities that really should have just been liquidation facilities as far as I'm concerned, and still should be. But then we started liberally prescribing psychoactive medications. Remember, this is all happening at the same time. This is all happening within the last few decades. We start inventing all these new medications meant to treat mental illness. All these SSRIs and Xannies and painkillers and shit. Wellbutrin. There's a, you know, whole industry for experimental drugs, essentially. Experimental drugs that pharmaceutical companies have got approved by working with their buddies at the, you know, at the FDA, and then mass market to people that are, that should be locked up or liquefied, or, you know, they should be in the pit, but instead they've got they got jobs in some HR department and the best health insurance available, so they can afford all this, these fucking medications. And then you got the recreational drugs all getting legalized or normalized, at least socially. Now, there's not a place in America now where pot is, like, you can't go to a major city in America and drive around without smelling weed at some point. There's like entire neighborhoods in cities where like the whole neighborhood just fucking smells like weed all day. And it's not taboo. Like, it's not taboo. It's not even like a little bit taboo. It's almost more taboo to like not think smoking weed is cool than the other way around. So you have all these people that have psychiatric problems, maybe some of them induced by these medications that are being abused. They, and look, one of the things that, are, that you have all these other causes for people to mistake perhaps a lack of meaning in their lives for a mental illness, right? You have all these people, because at the same time all this is going on, this is the crazy shit, all this is happening at once. At the same time this is going on, religion's just kind of evaporated. You know, like, by and large, you compare, you know, church attendance today with even, you know, 30, 40 years ago. Like, as I've pointed out a bunch of times, even like when The Simpsons first came out, late 80s, early 90s, while they shit on the fact that they went to church to some extent, they had to make The Simpsons go to church regularly on Sunday to be relatable, because everyone went to church on Sunday. Or at least the vast majority of Americans did. And so you won't be able to relate to this cartoon family unless there was that was in there. Again, they used that opportunity to just shit on it the whole time. But even that, there's a huge, you can see in the first season or two, they're more shitting on it because, oh, church is boring. Oh, wouldn't you rather be watching the game? Oh, look, Homer's funny because he's secretly listening to the game and with some, like, a Walkman or whatever, right? And then fast forward, you know, 30 years, that show's never going to fucking go away. And it's like this new age preacher that says that God might be a woman. And you know, it's like, it's totally, it's devolved in the same way the rest of society has. So you have that aspect going on. You've got religion, basically, you know, people, and look, people need religion. A lot of people need some kind of, or something like it, you know. You can't just look at, even if you're a hardcore atheist, you can't look at human beings as a species that have had this as part of their existence for basically as long as we can tell. Like, you know, as long as we've got written history, humans have believed in some kind of supernatural. You know, some kind of supernatural something, some kind of divine something that explains and enforces a value system and a way of life within the community. And you can say it's all fake and gay. Doesn't matter. Since caveman days, humans have had that aspect of the community intact. Whether, you know, it came in many different forms, you can say, but it was always there. Until, like, recently. In the West, at least, right? So, you have that getting erased. Where you have no real... look, it's bad enough when the religions aren't shared among everyone in the community. Right? That's a problem in and of itself. When you don't have a community of everyone at least on the same page about what this supernatural thing is, what this divine thing is, and what it's telling us. Right? Like, you've got completely different views on what that even means. That's bad enough. But now you got people where that's not even part of their existence anymore. That's not even part of their experience. And when you've evolved as a people to have that as part of how you keep societies together, and then you take it away, not great. I think we're kind of witnessing what happens. Or at least that's a contributing factor. So you got that going on at the same time, right? And that's creating all this anxiety in people. Yeah, I was watching this documentary we're going to cover in a future stream. And there's this white chick that was just being like, you know, it was white, it was problem green hair dyed, you know, leftist chick, rich chick, with white girl problems, as they say. And she, you know, look, I'm wrong, she had like some weird, I don't want to ruin it because anything I say would probably reveal who I'm talking about. She had some fucked up family shit, and she's talking, and she's like, oh, I have these panic attacks all the time. And her dad's like, oh, what's that like, having these panic attacks? And she's like, well, it's like I'll be in a crowd, and my body just feels the trauma of all the, my, you know, it's just like, you know, it's just, we have generations now of these people. But because they lack all of these things that have been deracinated and smeared and eradicated from our existence, our experience, they just feel lost. She was clearly mentally ill. Like, she was clearly the kind of person that would have been in 1905 put in the lunatic asylum for being a hysterical woman. I guess what I'm getting at is just like, it's only increasing. It's only increasing. It's increasing on both the left and the right. You have deluded people who have less and less of a grip on reality. You have people on the left who are mirroring the paranoia and the retarded schizo theories of the Q-tards. You have just the rank and file, if you will, MAGA people who are all kind of at least low-key delusional about the current situation with Trump and the future of the country and the political possibilities. You have people on the left that I guess the mirror image of those guys who just genuinely I think they used to kind of pretend that they weren't trying to reform America into some kind of Marxist version of America, but now they don't even pretend anymore. But anyway, yeah, this is it's gonna get crazy out there, guys. I guess the short version is shit's getting crazy, man. Shit's getting crazy. Got fucking Jews beating goys senseless. You got these guys. One thing, I guess, that's on the horizon, I guess, we'll know, because obviously Trump's not going to get arrested. I guess we're going to, he's getting sworn in on Monday, right? So that's not that long. It's a couple days. And then if you believe the Wall Street Journal, on Tuesday, we're going to start getting those mass deportations everyone was excited about. Now, look, this will be a good test. This will be a good test as to what we should expect from the administration, because this is their big shock and awe moment, right? This is their big moment, the big campaign promise. As soon as I'm sworn in, I'm going to do these mass deportations. And we're getting a first glimpse at least what that might look at. We've heard a lot of rhetoric from Trump and Vance and Homan, or whatever his name is, the border czar guy. And it's been very kind of milquetoast, kind of business as usual, talking about going after criminal aliens, and the numbers just aren't. And you know they're not resembling mass deportations, right? This is from let me take a look here. The Wall Street Journal. Trump to begin large-scale deportations on Tuesday. Chicago will be an early target, with as many as 200 officers being sent to carry out the operation. So a lot of people are excited about this because they think 200 officers are going to round up. I mean, it's Chicago. How many illegal immigrants do you think live in Chicago? I mean, is there like a, well, let me look. Let me see. Is there a statistic for that? Okay, so a estimate that I can come up with here is that statewide estimates for Illinois for illegal or undocumented immigrants is approximately 425,000. So roughly 500,000. It's probably more than that, but that's what the official statistic is for the whole state. And the large portion of that's going to be centered in the Chicago metro area. If not, I mean, definitely the majority, but if not, like, almost all of them will live in the Chicago metro area. So 200 people, let's just get that out of the way right now. 200 people are not going to deport 400,000 or more people out of Chicago. Will they even deport 1,000 people out of Chicago? I don't know. But continuing on here, the incoming Trump administration is planning a large-scale immigration raid in Chicago next week. According to four people familiar with the planning, the first move in President-elect Donald Trump's promised mass deportation campaign. Now, there's two ways to look at this. One, it's a leak of people that, you know, if you want to go Q-tard conspiracy, you could say, well, they're leaking this information out so that the illegals have time to leave. Or you could just say, actually, it's probably Trump people who want articles written on, like, that they're going to do it so that you get all pumped that, yeah, finally, we're going to get this. And now, look, I think they're going to do something. And I think it's, they're going to try to make it theatrical. They'll probably have, like, perp walk type videos. I would be surprised. In fact, that would be a bad sign in terms of their competence if they don't have, at the very least, some very viral, shareable clips of illegals being perp walked onto buses or, you know, something like they have to have, they're going to have video like that on Tuesday. If this article is true, at least they're going to have at least some video of that. Right. But again, it's going to, you know, it's not going to be the tens of thousands that it needs to be in Chicago, but whatever. The raid is expected to begin on Tuesday morning, a day after Trump is inaugurated, and will last all week, the people said. U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement will send between 100 and 200 officers to carry out the operation. So again, that's not like a lot. That's not a lot of people to, again, when you've got about 500,000 illegals and you're bringing 100 to 200 people. So 100, it's not even, 100, we'll just say 150 people, right? Trump ran for president on a bold promise to carry out the largest mass deportation in U.S. history. The Trump team intends to target immigrants in the country illegally with criminal backgrounds, many of whose offenses, like driving violations, made them too minor for the Biden administration to pursue. But the people cautioned if anyone else is in the country illegally, during the arrest, they will be taken too. So look, this would be a good thing if what they do, I'll believe it when I see it. If what they do is they go in and they bust the people that have any kind of record. That's not what they've been saying, by the way. They've been saying, and this, I don't know if this article is trying to sensationalize the event, or if this is what they'll really do. Well, I guess we'll find out, right? But if what they really do is go after anyone that has any kind of record, where like a parking ticket or, you know, whatever it is, that's better. It's still not great that that's all it is. That's way better than what they've been saying before, which is just the violent criminals. What's also better, again, I'll believe it when I see it, is if when they perform the arrest, so let's say they've got a database of all the illegals that they're going to raid, many of whom by now they've had like a heads up, probably won't be at home on Tuesday. Let's just put it that way. If my name was Enrique and I lived in Chicago, I'd be hanging out with my cousins in a different city next week. Okay, I wouldn't be in Chicago next week. So that's already kind of a, you know, but anyway, let's just say they go and raid these houses. They knock on the doors of anyone that they've got any kind of criminal record for. And they also arrest anyone and everyone that's illegal in the house. Well, because a lot of these guys live with other illegals, that would be a lot more than just what was what they've been talking about. And who knows? This is one raid, obviously, in Chicago. This problem exists all over the fucking country. But this will be a good moment. This will be a good test of two things. One, the competency, the ability to actually pull off any kind of deportation operation, which, by the way, every administration has done raids like this. We did I did that stream Postville edition, and that was the Obama administration. The Obama administration raided that kosher meatpacking facility in Postville, and it was one of like the biggest raids in a long time too. Like it was a huge. They got like, well, let me see exactly. I think it was like over 1,000 people because they basically arrested everyone that worked at that fucking thing. Let me see. Yeah, so, okay, well, actually, it wasn't 1,000 people. It was about 400 people. So the raid in Postville, and that was, again, that was under Obama. That was about 400 people at one place. So we've done big raids like this. So it's got to be way more than that. It's got to be way more than that, okay, which it has the potential to be, provided they're able to do this. So it'll be a good test on, A, if they're able to actually competently do any kind of large-scale raid that results in hundreds, maybe, hopefully thousands, but I don't know, I doubt it somehow, being deported, being rounded up, processed, and all that good stuff. Hopefully they've got, see, that's the thing. It's not just like, they don't just like put them on a bus and then hit a button and the bus like teleports to Mexico. Like there's like a whole process they have to go through to deport them. And then plus it's like not all of them are Mexicans. So you can't just drive them to Mexico and then, you know, half of them are only half of them are from Mexico. There are people from all over the fucking world at this point, especially in a city like Chicago. So you have to now deal with not only repatriating them back to whatever country they're from, but a lot of these countries don't want them back. And so you have to figure out ways of forcing these countries to take them back. You know, it's not, I'm just saying, it's not like, you know, you don't just drive them across the border and kick them out the door. That's what I would do, but that's not what they're going to do. So you get that whole process. It'll be a test of how smoothly that part goes. It'll also be a test of how the media reports it and how well the campaign that they will obviously, every news outlet is going to have the kids in cages story, you know, some version of that. Times 1,000, okay? That's going to happen. So it'll be a test of, like, how effective is that? How based is Zuckerberg these days? You know what I mean? And it's also going to be a test, speaking of which, of how on board these Jews are with this deal with the devil that seems to have taken place where, okay, we get to get rid of the lower IQ immigrants as long as we take in the higher IQ Pajits. So it'll be a test if these oligarch Jews allow this kind of a operation to take place and don't make a bunch of noise. So anyway, there's a lot of things that it'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to watch it unfold, and it starts on Tuesday morning. The transition team has been contemplating cities to target in a day one operation as a way of making an example of so-called sanctuary cities, which adopt, and see, this is the other thing I think they hope that'll, because this is the problem, and I think this will be, unfortunately, a lot of what will happen. You'll have the operation take place in Chicago, and then what you'll see them do is they'll say, because this is, again, this is the big shock and awe campaign. The hope will be, well, this will scare all the illegals in the rest of the country, all the urban centers and all the other sanctuary cities in America. All the illegals will be like, oh fuck, did you hear about cousin Jorge? You know, he got fucking, you know, rounded up. You know, we better go, SA. Like, I don't know if that's, you know, how much of that. I mean, some of that will happen. I would guess some of that will happen. It'll be hard to judge how much of that's actually happening. But I guarantee you they'll pump those numbers up. They'll say, oh, yeah, well, we deported, you know, a billion people. And, you know, most of those numbers will be the estimated people who self-deported, you know. So you got to watch out for that shit. But anyway, some of that will happen. Some people will self-deport, to be fair. Tom Homan, the administration's incoming border czar, appeared to preview the operation during a visit to Chicago last month. We're going to start right here in Chicago, Illinois, Homan said at a holiday party on Chicago's north side. And if Chicago mayor doesn't want to help, he can step aside. But if he impedes us, he knowingly harbors or conceals an illegal alien, I will prosecute him. You know, well, that's all bluster. Homan has no authority to do that. In response to Homan's comments at the time, Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a Democrat, said, I'm going to make sure to follow the law. I'm concerned that the Trump administration and his lackeys aren't going to follow the law. The Trump transition team and ICE didn't immediately respond to a request for comment Friday, nor did representatives for Pritzker or Johnson. Large immigrant centers, such as New York, Los Angeles, Denver, and Miami, are also in the incoming administration's sights. And more targeted raids could come. To help carry them out, the Trump team is weighing a broad mix of changes to give sheriffs more power, with rewards for jurisdictions that cooperate and financial penalties against those that hold out. People involved in the planning said previously. Homan, for example, has publicly threatened to throw the mayor of Denver, who has loudly protested Trump's immigration plans, in jail. Again, that's, he can't do that, so it is what it is. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department said in a statement that local officials in 2020 banned cooperation with federal immigration authorities who are prohibited from using county property, databases, and personnel without a federal warrant. So this is what I was talking about months ago. You are going to have a lot of jurisdictions who aren't just going to not cooperate. They're going to actively fight you. And that's because this isn't just an issue. This is not a small problem anymore. Diversity runs a lot of these cities now. And so you're going to be up against that. And certainly Los Angeles is one of these places where you're going to have issues with the local government. So there, the local sheriff's office is banned, or, you know, I guess they passed some local law that banned them from cooperating with immigration authorities. So you're going to have that in Los Angeles. You're going to have that in probably a lot of these Democrat, which is pretty much every urban center cities. In fact, very, very few jurisdictions will cooperate. Trump's advisors have said they intend to penalize sanctuary cities by cutting off what could amount to billions of dollars in federal grants to them. Yeah, I mean, that's one way, right? We'll see how that'll work. Because that's the other thing, too, is I don't know how much of how much Trump really decides what grants these cities get. Because Congress kind of controls the purse. So are there other mechanisms, other avenues for doing that? I mean, I don't know. I don't know the intricacies of the federal, you know, I don't know all the avenues in which federal dollars flow into sanctuary cities, right? So I don't know where these streams of revenue can be choked out here and there. With Trump's inauguration looming, rumors spread on social media in recent days of coming ICE raids. One organization, the Coalition for Humane Immigrants, Coalition for Humane Immigrant Rights of Los Angeles, said it has conducted more than 140 workshops since the election, informing immigrants of their rights, legal resources, and how to respond if approached by ICE agents. If the intent is to instill a sense of terror and persecution, that's what the Trump administration is doing, CheerLaw spokesman Jorge Mario Cabrera said. See, that's the problem. You got these, there's enough of these motherfuckers here to where they have all these NGOs, many of whom have been receiving money from the federal government for years, and they're going to be fighting you tooth and nail. They're going to be organizations that money launder their money, their funding through local politicians who will also be fighting you, who control the local sheriffs and all this other stuff. Because yeah, people think sheriffs and they think like, oh yeah, based sheriffs, you know, because there's that movement that's been going on for years to try to educate sheriffs of local or of more rural counties of the powers that they have to kind of, thwart the will of the urban centers, Soros dictates come from, right, as they would put it. But the problem is we're not talking about doing raids in these rural areas with these based sheriffs. We're talking about sheriffs that are diversity sheriffs. These are lefty diversity sheriffs in places like Los Angeles. Let's see here. With the American population aging, the U.S. This is the Wall Street Journal showing its true colors here. With the American population aging, the U.S. economy has become increasingly dependent on immigrant labor, partially or particularly in the food, construction, and service industries. See, it's just these jobs that Americans won't do. Since the end of 2020, some 10 million people have migrated to the U.S. Isn't that insane? That's probably a low estimate. They're saying since 2020, 10 million motherfuckers have showed here. And yet we're supposed to believe there's only 11 million fucking here? Give me a break. Subtracting those who left, including those who came both legally and illegally, the arrivals have eased labor shortages and helped propel faster economic growth. Economists and business leaders say deportations on the scale Trump has suggested would amount to a shock to the economy, hitting crucial industries with labor shortages. And, to a degree, look, it's a shock. I agree that that's true. It's a shock that's worth going through. Right, that's the problem. Always kicking the fucking financial can down the road and fucking your kids over and over and over again, like the boomers have decided that, that's their financial strategy, because they don't want a temporary pain now. They don't want to just rip off the Band-Aid. They'd rather the wound just kind of fester and get disgusting underneath the bandage there. And that's kind of what's going on is they've always been doing buy now, pay later for really decades at this point. And so any kind of inconvenience to the oligarchs, temporary though it might be, is usually it's usually avoided. And so, yeah, and if it's not avoided, it's turned into a political football. So politicians are very well aware of that, that if you had like some kind of economic downturn as a result of kicking all the immigrants out, and so you'd have like, briefly, you'd have like a little bit of a bump in the road, and you might even have interested oligarchs making that bump a little bumpier just to turn the screws a little bit. You know as well as I do that politicians love that quote from Clinton, it's the economy, stupid. They like to repeat that because they really do think and have thought that for a really long time. That's pretty much the only issue that ever matters. And so they're terrified of doing anything that can be blamed on them when it comes to the economy having any kind of issue. Economists and business leaders say deportations, blah, 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 blah. Many voters felt President Biden's border policy strained towns and schools across the country. In the November election, immigration was a top concern for voters, with only the economy a bigger worry. See, it's always the economy is the big one. Chicago became a political flashpoint during Biden's presidency when Texas Governor Greg Abbott started sending busloads of migrants seeking asylum at the southern border to Chicago and other northern cities. So you guys remember that when based Zionist Abbott, wheelchair... In my wheelchair, go kiss the wailing wall. Abbott, based anti-Semitism legislation, Abbott, was shipping off all the illegals to, you know, like Martha's Vineyard and random places like that. Since August 2022, more than 51,000 migrants have arrived, according to Chicago city figures. Fasika Alim, see, there's another, that's a good American name, right? Fasika Alim. Fasika Alim, program director of the United African Organization in Chicago, said her group and others have mobilized to ensure, see, that's the thing, they're not all Mexicans, some of these are Africans, to ensure that people they work with know their rights and have plans for someone to watch their children if they become separated. And look, they also, a lot of these groups are going to, they have plans to move people during the raid. So they can, they know when it's happening. It's not that hard to prepare for this kind of a thing. Quote, we are preparing our community to be ready, she said. That's how we're framing it. The Chicago Police Department referred any questions about the pending immigration enforcement actions to the federal government. CPD, in a statement, cited Chicago's welcoming city ordinance under which the department, quote, does not document immigration status or share information with federal immigration authorities. We will not intervene or interfere with any other government agencies performing their duties, though. So they're not going to help. They're going to just let the, apparently, let the feds do their thing without any kind of assistance. So they're not going to be like LA where they're actively, I think, probably, you know, going to fight it. But this will be a good test. This will be a good test to see how the big hopes and dreams of the MAGA crowd, if your faith pays off. Your faith pays off. Like I said, it'll no matter what, you're gonna have the perp lot. It's a really bad sign if you don't. If you don't have the perp walk footage going on to buses and lots of it, that's a bad sign already. Because it's easy to get. All you need is one or two deportations to get that. You don't need thousands to get the shot that goes on Twitter, you know what I mean? So they can't even get that. That's a problem. But I suspect they'll get that. I suspect they'll maybe get a few hundred people. I don't know. I don't know how big this is going to be. But if you've only got 150 officers or whatever, it's hard to imagine you getting more than a few hundred people. But we'll see. We'll see. And then I suspect you'll have with accompanying these viral shots of people being perp walked, you'll have, of course, the usual suspects on Twitter sharing them and saying, oh, look, Trump's mass deporting everybody and you're blackpilling. We already know what we're going to see, regardless of how successful the operation is. They've already decided that they got the headline, Trump to begin the large scale deportations. They already believe it. It doesn't matter. They could deport 10 people next week and, they'll think it was a success. I think they'll do significantly more than that. But anyway, so that's just in a couple of days. We'll see. We'll see what happens. Like I said, I'm a little bit skeptical. And then one last little news item, I guess, that I saw. Is as of just moments ago, no more TikTok. TikTok, if you try to use TikTok in America, or at least this is how it was being reported right before I went live. I don't have TikTok on any device, so I can't verify this. But apparently, if you try to use TikTok in America, you now get a message that says, sorry, TikTok isn't available right now. A law banning TikTok has been enacted in the United States. Unfortunately, that means you can't use TikTok for now. We are fortunate that President Trump has indicated that he will work with us on a solution to reinstate TikTok once he takes office. Please stay tuned. And then you can just close the app and that's it. I don't know if I mean, credible sources were reporting this, so I'm assuming this is true. I don't know what exactly the solution that Trump was indicating that he was going to help with, but the solution that I was seeing up until, you know, very recently, when I stopped paying attention to it because I just assumed that's what was going on, is you were going to have these big Jewish funders buy it. Like, that was the whole thing, right? Like, TikTok had to sell or they wouldn't be allowed to operate in the United States. I guess they're not selling, so I guess they're not allowed to operate in the United States. There's another app. Apparently people are using some Chinese communist app that is, forget the name of it, but apparently there's already been some censorship on there. I believe Nick Fuentes actually said that he tried to use it and was already banned from using it. What is it called? It's called like Red something. Let me see here. Red Note. So I guess it's like a communist Chinese, but like explicitly communist Chinese app that is similar to TikTok that people are now using. I don't know. I never even used TikTok. I never got into TikTok. So this affects me not at all. To the extent that it does, it means libs of TikTok has nothing to do, which makes me happy. That does make me happy, right? At least if there's a silver lining, and in fact, if it almost think it makes you wonder, like, if Trump wants to help TikTok stay on, it might just be so he can help libs, you know, Jewish libs of TikTok stay in business. But that's the silver lining to me, is there's going to be no libs of TikTok anymore. Oh. But, you know, so TikTok's gone. I guess another thing, another news, as long as we're just doing news stuff, this is as of just moments ago also. There was going to be a ceasefire between Israel and, I guess, Gaza and maybe even Israel's neighbors that have been attacked recently. This just got posted. It says, Israeli PM Netanyahu said Trump assured him the Gaza ceasefire is temporary and that Israel has his full backing to resume the war shortly. He added that Trump has decided to lift all remaining restrictions on U.S. munitions to Israel imposed by Biden. Here is a clip from, again, this is breaking news, a clip from Netanyahu right now.
Since he was elected, Trump was completely committed to the release of the hostages. We spoke on Wednesday. He congratulated me on the agreement, and he emphasized, and rightly so, that the first stage is a temporary ceasefire. This is what he said, a temporary ceasefire. Towards the next stages of the agreement, we are holding on to some significant assets so that we can bring back all of the hostages and in order to accomplish all the goals of the war. Both President Trump and President Biden have provided full backing to Israel's right to resume fighting, to resume combat if Israel reaches the conclusion that the negotiations over the second stage are pointless. I truly appreciate that. I also appreciate the decision of President Trump to lift all the remaining restrictions on the providing of essential munitions and weapons to the state of Israel. If we need to resume combat, we will do so in new ways, and we will do so with tremendous force.
So that was a translator, but that's Netanyahu who was speaking in the devil's language, getting translated into into English there. So, I mean, I don't know. There are people that are reading into that this is a temporary ceasefire, and as soon as Trump is, in the Oval Office once again, which is Monday, they're just going to be back at it again. So that's breaking news right now. All right, and then I guess there was, there's one more story I wanted to cover before we go to kind of laid back stream. Like I said, I was going to cover these, I did cover these Turbo Jews. It's just a horrible story. It's just not a long story. Let's see here. I think that might be it, actually. It might be it. Let me see. See if there's anything else popping up in the breaking news department. Oh, one thing I did want to talk about, actually. So, I don't know how many you guys are, I'm assuming some of you are probably from the UK. But Mark Collett, I'm assuming some of you guys are familiar with, if you're from the UK or even if you're not. Mark Collett of Patriotic Alternative, he's been, in the scene a long time. Had me on a couple of times. Always been a really nice guy, real stand-up guy. I think a lot of you guys, at the very least, will know who he is. They've been doing activism, primarily talking about white replacement that's been going on in the UK, but he's been advocating for the rights of the indigenous English in England for decades, really. I mean, he's been in the scene a long, long time. But recently, he was interviewed by the BBC because Patriotic Alternative, which, again, that's his activist group, and they're not like, for those of you who don't know anything about it, there's a lot of, I think, Americans that are afraid of associating with some kind of IRL group. They think everyone's going to be a Fed. When they think of like a IRL activism group, they think about stuff that is, if it's not like official MAGA stuff, it's edgy, because we're in America, you can be edgy. In the UK, and kind of as a result of the laws they have in the UK, if you have a activist group in the UK, you have to kind of be careful about how you operate your group and what kinds of things you do. Because the government, you don't have the same kind of free speech that you have in America, and the government is hell-bent on locking anyone up that doesn't agree with the official narrative, right? But Patriotic Alternative, because of Mark's ability to, I think, run a tight ship and keep things classy, has been able to perform activism, pro-white activism, in the UK with increasing popularity for many years now, without having some of the members have had issues with the law because they've been targeted by the anti-white government in the UK, but the organization has been able to survive as an organization. Well, they're trying to shut that down. They're trying to shut it down because the big difference that Americans probably will have a hard time understanding is in the UK, when you see these stories about people in the UK getting locked up for a Facebook post or something like that, it's because of this real weaselly, this legislation that basically, or this interpretation, I guess, of the limitations on speech in the UK. And that is, if they can make the argument that the purpose of your speech is to incite racial hatred, then it's illegal. So my show is... I'm breaking UK law every 5 to 10 minutes. But if they can interpret anything that you're saying to mean that, or to that the intention of it, by the way, doesn't matter what you say. What you actually say might not run afoul of any of their other speech laws, right? It's just that if they can make the argument in court with a anti-white judge, which is probably most of the judges there, that you just meant to stir up racial hatred, you can go to jail. That's what happened to Laura Towler's husband, Sam. I always forget his last name, but I think you guys are familiar with the story. He was putting out stickers that weren't saying, let's go kill the niggers, which, by the way, if I said that in the UK, I'd go to jail, right? It just says, the whites will become a minority by, in the UK by, what, like 2040 or whatever it was, right? Like, it was based on the real, like, government projections of the demographics there. And other things like that. But, it wasn't like inciting violence. It wasn't anything even edgy. It was just facts. Hate facts. And so he made these stickers and he put them up and was arrested. And he's thankfully back with his family now, but he was put in jail because the court made the argument that while the stickers themselves were not illegal, the speech, because you can, there's illegal speech in the UK, his intention was made it illegal because he meant it to stir up racial hatred. Well, that's unfortunately the bar that they have to, that's the bar for going to jail, is if you're if you can make a judge think that, or not even think, but say that you intended to stir up racial hatred, you can go to jail, right? It's as simple as that. The only loophole is that if you are saying these things that are meant to stir up racial hatred in a private conversation, then it's okay. If you say say it in public, then it's not okay. But if you say it in, like, your bedroom with your spouse, I think technically maybe in your bedroom with your spouse, you might even be able to say, let's get the darkies, or I don't know. You can be, maybe not, I don't know. I don't know. There might be a limit there too. But at any rate, the limit is extended on what you're allowed to say when it's in private, right? And the noose only really tightens to where you start. That's why you go to jail if it's a Facebook post, because that's considered no longer a private conversation. It's really stupid. Like, it's all these people need to get the rope. Okay. Whoever came up with these laws and, everyone enforcing them, they all need to go in the pit, but whatever. That's not the reality right now is that if you say something edgy on Facebook, that's not private, it's public, and so now you're trying to incite racial hatred and whatever. Anyway, long story short, for a year, the BBC infiltrated, which, not like it was this big secret thing that they make it sound like it was, but the infiltrated patriotic alternative. In other words, a white guy, a race-trading white guy, went to patriotic alternative and said that he was down on his luck and he was pro-white and wanted to join and volunteer. And they found him a job, because that's what they do. They do a lot of community service work. They do, they go and pick up trash, and it's not just like, oh, we're going to, hang a banner or whatever. They do literal community service work, but they also help fellow whites, like, not Jewish fellow whites, but like actual other whites. They help them get jobs, do their, they try to use, their network to get, help people out when they need it. They raise money for, well, like Sam And Laura, when Sam went to jail, they raised money for their family because they had, he had a baby, a new baby. And, you know, so and they've raised money for other people that have gone to jail for political crimes. So the BBC sent, had this race trading monster go in and pretend to be a pro-white guy. And they, and Patriot Alternative got him a job, helped him out, got, you know, they thought helped him get on his feet. And then he started attending all of the events and secretly recording conversations with everyone, trying to get them to say something that would be illegal, which is, again, in the UK, to Americans, that sounds crazy, but in the UK, it's not as crazy as you think. After a year of recording God knows how many hundreds of hours, they weren't able to really acquire a lot of shit because, like I said, Mark runs a tight ship. They have a code of conduct. They, because they know that this sort of thing can happen. When you're at the events, there's rules about how you conduct yourself with, you know, certainly with like the speakers, but even your, within your conversations amongst each other while at an official event, because, you know, you got to work. That's, this is something they have to worry about out there. But there were a couple of conversations apparently where someone said something edgy here and there. Nothing, by the way, it's all stuff that Americans would probably hear on a regular basis. But in the UK, it's like, ooh, naughty. And nothing that was really all that crazy, by the way, like nothing that was even remotely, the BBC will make it sound like they were planning a terrorist attack on, you know, Big Ben or something, but it was, you know, this is all like, for example, I think one of them was some guy said that he had nigger fatigue, like, and that's the big thing. Oh my God. Oh, holy shit. He said he had nigger fatigue after the George Floyd riots or whatever. So like that's like a big deal, right? That's like, that's ooh. Cause if he had said that on Facebook, if he had said that in a public setting, he'd go to jail for that. Right? Well, now the BBC has these recordings and they're not illegal though, because the settings in which these edgy utterances were made were in the context of a private venue, in a, you know, invite only kind of a situation, or maybe at a pub among you know, friends or what, but it's, none of it rises to the level that would actually break the law, which is what they were trying to get with their embedded reporter for 1 year. And so they are trying to use this information, this you know, the secret undercover information they got to produce a documentary, like a hit piece on Patriotic Alternative that they'll then use to try to pass new legislation in the UK, so that in addition to not being able to say nigger fatigue in public, you won't be able to say nigger fatigue in private, because you could also go to jail for that. And in which would obviously create a situation where everyone's afraid to talk about pro-white anything, and no matter what the context is, because you're going to always wonder where the line is. The line's moving now, and you might go to jail, not just for posting something edgy on Facebook, but maybe for whispering something edgy to your spouse in your, the privacy of your own home. So this is, again, the UK has been a surveillance state to a embarrassing degree, really, for many decades. And it's just, this is just one more march in that direction. And so Mark was approached by the BBC, who you know, wanted to comment, wanted to interview him prior to their release so they could include some sound bites from him. I actually watched the whole thing before the show this evening. It's on Odyssey, and I highly recommend you go and have a listen to that in its entirety. It's really a masterclass on how to deal with these people without losing your cool. Like Mark secretly, I don't know how secret it was, but he recorded the entire interview with the BBC guy, knowing that he was going to be edited, and however it's going to appear in the documentary, it's going to be, you know, they're going to misrepresent him because that's what they do. And so if you want to hear the entire interview that he recorded, I highly recommend that. It just shows you, it's frustrating to have to listen, because you know he has to be very precise in his answers and very precise in his language. Because they're trying to get him to break the law, really. They're trying to get him to say something edgy that they can then arrest him for. I mean, I can't fucking imagine living under those conditions. It sickens me that that's where we're at in the motherland. Like it's like, holy shit, what happened? What fucking happened over there? I mean, it's disgusting. It's really disgusting. But I highly recommend checking that out. I have a clip of it that's not super long. I don't know if you guys, or someone just in chat posted the full link to the full length thing. So that there it is if you guys want to check that out. So anyway, that's pretty much it for tonight. I know, again, like it's not like most of my streams, I've got like a whole thing or whatever. The Oatman was a lot of work, and I got some travel I got to do. Full disclosure, I have some travel I got to do tomorrow and Monday, and so I didn't have a whole lot of time because I've been preparing for that to get everything together for something like this tonight. But you know, they can't all be Oatman editions, right? Glad you guys like that. Yes, I highly recommend obviously, because it's my video, share that as much as possible. I wasn't sure how that would play. I didn't know how many people would actually be interested in that, because it is a very American story, a very, Southwest. It's a very, in a way, it's regional to me in some ways. It's regional to me. So I didn't know if that would really kind of have widespread interest, but apparently it has. But yeah, all right. Let's take a look at Hyper Chats, shall we? Shall we? Let's go ahead and do that. Pop this open. Oh, one other thing. Last stream we had, speaking of the Oatman edition, we had someone spurg the fuck out. I don't know if they were Yavapai Indian or something, or what the fuck happened there. But they spurged the fuck out and unleashed a bunch of bots on the chat. And so we had to take measures to stop that. And in the chaos, some people might have been banned unnecessarily or on accident. If you think that you were one of these people that were on accident banned during the Yavapai bloodshed of last stream, probably the best way to get that straightened out is go to the Blackpilled Telegram. It's the Blackpilled official Telegram. Or if you know someone in the chat who's not banned, you can tell them to message one of the mods or something, and just let us know. But I'd go to the Blackpilled official Telegram. Probably that's where you'd be able to reach some of these people that can unban you, the mods. And we'll get you unbanned there. But yeah, it was chaotic for a minute. Also, I made it so I put a limit on the age of an account that can talk in chat. And I might have gone a little heavy-handed with the time limit I put on there. So if you've got a very new account from, say, you know, the last couple of months, you are not able to talk right now. But I'll probably ease up on that a little bit. But yeah, if you want to talk to Hammer of Thorazine or one of the other mods in the Telegram chat, that'll probably be the best way to get that fixed up for you, because it was just raging engines. Raging Yavapai engines were pissed off, apparently, at the last stream. All right. So anyway, let's take a look at Hyperchats. All right, we got Gorilla Hands. Gorilla Hands, are you guys ready for the shit show? Literally with H1B Pajits. Well, that's the thing is, we might get rid of some of these low IQ guys. I mean, we'll see next week, right? We'll see what happens next week. The H1B1 thing is, it's worse. Like I've said before, Jorge is not competing with white people for jobs, but, Pujat is. Jesse Poe Holiday says the Oatman stream was great. Sad though, you hit on a little bit of a topic of my last Substack. When the boomers are gone, there won't be anyone to be stewards of our history. Gen Y and Z won't be able to fund these institutions and these museums. The Fall of Rome Part 2 is upon us. Yeah, I think there will be a lot of that. History will be lost. A lot of local history will be lost. I think that's something that we need to think about. People like Gen Xers as they get older, those of you out there who are Gen Xers that are getting older and maybe have some money and resources, and if you're tied to a community and you want to preserve the history of that community, you know, maybe at the very least, there should be an effort to digitize this stuff. In fact, that should be maybe a project that everyone should think about how they could maybe play a role in that. Like locally, if you have a local history that you know exists only in the back rooms of dusty public libraries or in the bedroom in a box of an old woman who runs a local historical society, or whatever, you know, like you need to get a hold of these documents, these stories, when appropriate, maybe even interview some of these old timers, get them on video, digitize this stuff and try to preserve it, because it's not going to be preserved. And it certainly won't even be preserved a lot of this stuff was funded by local governments. As local governments become increasingly less white, they're going to have no interest in preserving the racist white man's history. So it's just going to disappear. It's going to disappear. And this stuff needs, if, like I said, if nothing else, get it digitized. Hey. Hey, Simply says, hey, Devin, fellow beekeeper here. That sounds funny. Love your content. I was wondering if you could do a stream into the epidemic of blacks raping whites. Check out the DDD and Jack Barbershop on Rumble. I grew up in a cop family in a chocolate city where the news buried these types of crimes. I will check into that. Well, I think we all know the rape statistics only go in one direction. There's virtually zero whites raping blacks. And in some years, it's not virtually, it's zero. In fact, it's for several years, it's zero whites raping blacks. And obviously not the other, that's not the number the other way around. Occidental Front says, g'day, Devin. J. Smith might have been full of shit, I think he meant shit, But he was certainly right about the Indians being cursed by God. That savage was coming from a place of ignorance, but he was also right when he said, quote, the white man is being led by a spirit which will lead him to ruin. This reminded me of my Pakistani friend, whom I bonded with over shared anti-Semitism 10 years ago. True Islam seems to be a schizo-conspiracy belief that Satan coordinates world affairs to bring about revelation, and to be honest, I have a hard time refuting it. Side note, I only told him that I enjoyed his friendship, but if it meant 100,000 more coming over, then sorry, he had to go home. Isn't Vox Dei part Red Devil? What would explain, or that would explain, falling for Q? I'm no historian, but if the British didn't give the Dot Indians their sovereignty, wouldn't they still be ruled over by Muslims? Oh, we got a lot there. Yeah, Vox Dei is part Feather Indian. I'm not sure what tribe. As is Ryan Dawson is full Feather Indian. That's what I mean, though. There's different tribes with different, with varying levels of intelligence and probably radically different ethnic origins. Because I think that some tribes do have a lot of European admixture that they won't admit. That's probably quite ancient, from either Vikings or people from the British Isles, or maybe, or who knows where, that over the years found themselves on the American continent. And then, of course, you got the Bering Strait people and stuff like that. But, yeah, as far as the British thing, I don't know. I think that I just think that it's a mixed bag, right? Part of it's like, I don't want to, I'm not ashamed of the colonial history that whites have. I think that their hearts are in the right place, a lot of these guys trying to civilize the uncivilized. But I also think that it's led to the reality that we live in today, where they would just be, you know, they would still be these undeveloped third world, well, I mean, they're always third world, but like undeveloped, more primitive, unable to mass emigrate into the West, irrelevant people. They should have been left alone to their own destinies, but I, at the same time, I kind of get it, wanting to go there and take their resources. I'm just being honest. Stryker. I enjoyed your Oatman edition on the restream. Lived amongst the Apache for 9 years in Arizona. No issues with them personally. Mom taught me to not trust engines. As a little kid, my grandma took back a red stool she had given me. I ran to my room crying. She's an Indian giver. Yeah, like I said, the Yavapai and the Apaches are related. But the Apaches generally were a very troublesome tribe when it came to interactions with the settlers. There was a lot of violence between the settlers and the Apache generally, but the Yavapai apparently were extra brutal. Friendly Neighborhood Fascist says, how about the Trump meme coin? America isn't a real country. This isn't real life. Wake me up. Well, and I guess we'll see what, speaking of meme coins, Trump Jr. is not just pushing the meme coin, he's also pushing Bitcoin. Rock Paladin! Rock Paladin says, the Oatman stream was fantastic. I love the look back at old-fashioned Americana. Have you considered doing something else on the savage race of Indians, maybe south of the border? The Aztec heart-ripping sacrifice rituals were brutal, and one can't feel sorry for what happened to them either. Yeah, I think there's a few stories. I want to do some more Old West type stories, and not just necessarily about Indians, but also about like based white frontiersmen that were just total fucking giga chads stomping all over the nature. We used to do that, by the way. We used to do that. In fact, the boomers grew up on shit like that, on like Daniel Boone and Davy Crockett and all that shit. That used to be what helped give white Americans a good sense of their identity. You know, like this connection with their at least with the founding stock guys like myself. You know, it gave you like a nice little, I mean, fictional though it might be in many cases, a nice little connection to an image of one of your ancestors, you know, like the whole coonskin cap, rifle-toting, bear-fighting motherfuckers, you know? And I think, like, there's a lot of true stories. I mean, there's a lot of exaggerated stories, too. But there's a lot of true stories. Like, one that I mentioned last stream was, you know, Jebediah Smith, who I think I'm going to stream on, who, you know, fought a bear. Got bit in the head by a grizzly bear and survived. And he still ended up dying young. He did a lot. He was the first white man. I mean, imagine that. Imagine being the first white guy to travel to California by land. So he was walking through territory. And if you've driven through the West Coast, a lot of it's not very forgiving, right? This isn't always great territory to be traveling through. Indians aside, like let's assume there weren't Indians, right? But there was Indians too. But just having to traverse that kind of terrain and that kind of weather, those weather conditions, but also just to know you're the only white guy that's ever done it. Like you're just looking out. Like imagine being the first white guy to find the Grand Canyon and just be like, holy fuck, what is this? You know? And, I think we need to tell those stories. We need to tell the stories about the settlers that were badasses and, you know, the kinds of things they had to go through, the kinds of shit they had to go through. And sometimes the kinds of Indians they had to put in the ground, you know, it is what it is. So yeah, I think that's I think we'll do streams like that when but you know, if it's a good enough story. I think Jebediah Smith I don't know if it's a long enough story, maybe it is, but it's a pretty good story. His life, I was looking through it because I came across his name while doing the research for the Oatman thing. And I was like, damn, this guy's a fucking badass. Watch the Collapse says Jew's gonna Jew. Love you, Devin. I'm ready for this stream. Tribe and train, folks. The hour is among us, or almost upon us. All right, it's getting late. Stock up, get fit, get some new toys, and learn to use them, and use them well. Be ready so you don't need to get ready. Now more than ever, it's time to love you, chat, or now more than ever, it's time to love you, chat, and hail victory. Okay, I'm not sure that last part, but I get the sentiment. Yes, watch the Collapse. Thanks for the support, and yeah, all good advice. Try to be prepared for things unraveling. If as you were like I said, people are going to keep getting crazier. People are going to keep getting crazier, and. Left, the difference between leftist cutards and right-wing cutards is the right-wing cutards, they do pop off, sort of. I mean, we had a few of them, right? Like, we had that one guy that parked his armored vehicle that he made on the Hoover Dam, wasn't it? Or something like that. And, but that went, yeah, it went to nowhere. And then we had that cutard that, didn't he shoot, like, some relative of John Gotti or something like that. Like that sounds made up, but it's not. Like there was some Q-tard that lost his shit, and I think in fact, I think it was in like the Chicago area. He went and killed like some mobster's son or brother or something, and or grandson maybe even, and then just waited for cops to come get him. But yeah, you have stuff like that. When like right wing Q-tards pop off, that's what you get. When lefties pop off, I mean, look, you got to give it to them. I don't want to really say, even though I'm in America, I have to be a little careful about what I say sometimes, but, it just seems like they get a little more serious about things when they pop off. And so, I don't know what's going to happen with this blue anon stuff, but when you have a bunch of mentally ill people who think Trump's going to get arrested and then he doesn't, and then they perceive, even if Trump's not actually doing mass deportations, they see like that viral video, right? The perp walk video, and they get, you know, it's like the first term, right? The whole first term, you had all kinds of lefties thinking that Hitler was in charge. And they're going to think the same shit this time around. And they're less mentally stable this time around. So we'll see what happens. All right, we got Ryan. Ryan with a big dono.
Heil Hitler, bitch. Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right, and Ryan simply just says,
Heil Hitler, bitch!
All right. Thank you for the support there, Ryan. Occidental Front says, speaking of Native stolen valor, the Kimberley rock art and the Bradshaw paintings in Australia was obviously not made by the same Aboriginals as were present at the time of settlement. Worth an image search if you're curious. They're so old, they are the rock they are painted on. Yeah, I think there's a lot that's, you know, when you have a group of people inhabiting an area that are way more primitive than the ruins that are local, and they have no written language even, it's, yeah, I'm always skeptical. I'm always skeptical that, oh, really? Your ancestors of 1,000 years ago that were obviously more developed than you are. That makes sense. Zazie McTaskbot says, when I was 7 or 8 years old, my mom threw away a bucket about 2 gallons of honey that an uncle had given us because it sugared. Even at that age, I knew it was wrong. It hurts me still. Also, I agree, royal jelly sounds like honey jizz to me. Thanks for the show. Keep up the good work. Yeah, all you have to do is, there are people that'll tell you that honey goes bad, but you pretty much, it crystallizes. You just have to warm it up. It'll turn back into honey. I mean, fresh honey is better, but it doesn't get inedible, you know. I mean, I guess there's maybe eventually it does. Part of it is if it's got a high moisture content, it can ferment, but that's more of a problem of, like, if it's, that's people giving you honey that wasn't ready yet. If you get honey that wasn't capped because the honey guy was in a hurry and wanted more of a honey crop than he should have took, because the honeybees don't cap the cells until it's at the right moisture content. But sometimes honey producers will just take the frames that haven't been capped because it's, you know, it's more honey. But what happens is it's fine in short time periods, but the higher moisture content will make it ferment, which, you know, it's still edible, I guess, but I mean, it's fermented. Brody says, what's up, Devin? How are the bees doing? How about Churro? Churro is back after disappearing for a few days, and he's asleep, I think, in the other room. And the bees are, I don't know yet. I'll find out in a few weeks when I crack open the hives. I'm expecting losses, but, well, I'm not sure how many losses yet. Bessemer says, hi, Devin. -3 degrees outside. Yeah, there's a big cold. What is it called? Like a... What is it called? Polar vortex. There's a polar vortex coming in. So it's going to be really cold starting Monday, I guess, right? I guess in some places it's already begun. It hasn't reached me yet. I mean, it's cold, but it's not super cold yet. But I guess the rest of the country, including places close by, are getting into the negative zone. Getting below freezing for sure. It's gonna be something to watch out for. It's cold. It's cold here, but it's not like wacky cold yet. But we'll see what happens here. I hope you guys are keeping warm out there. Thankfully, it's not super cold here though yet. One of the advantages of, I guess, living in the desert. Hi, Dev. -3 degrees outside. All right, you just did that one. Just saw a guy in skis going down my street, pulled by his dog. White people things. I wish I had snow. I do miss snow. That's one thing you miss about the desert is snow. It has snowed here before, but not since I've been here. I've seen hailstorms here, but not snow. Mike says, hey, Devin. The last stream reminded me about some ancestors of mine I discovered named the Ragsdales that were murdered in the 1644 Jamestown Massacre. When I told my aunt about this, she immediately wanted to know if her grandfather was an Indian. The white guilt is very deep. Yeah, I mean, I remember in high school, lots of friends bragging they were, you know, 1/8 Cherokee or, you know, some stupid shit. The Elizabeth Warren complex is not limited to Elizabeth Warren. And it wasn't always so that you could get into a school. It was because that is how intense the white guilt is. White people have been itching to not be, to at least be like part something else so they could, you know, claim that they're not, you know, this evil white people thing they keep hearing about. Christpilled says, dear listener, who's a patron on Devin Subscribestar, you know who you are. Thank you. Since last stream, his monthly pledge amount there has spiked 5%. Well, there you go. I wasn't aware of that. I haven't had time to check it yet. I've been actually out of the house a lot in the last few days. Day of the Rope 2 coming soon. Well, I appreciate that. Blue Cord. Blue Cord says, good evening, Mr. Stack. With the Stripe being dropped, we are no longer going to be able to donate through Odyssey. Should I switch over to another method? I'm not aware of what you're talking about, but if that becomes an issue, we will figure it out. I know there's Power Chat and there's a couple other things that people use, third power or party things. I hope that's not where we have to go, but if that's where we have to go, then that's where we'll figure it out. But I'm not too worried about it. I'll have to check in and see what you're talking about, but I wouldn't be surprised if Stripe, because Stripe's the, you know, they've done this before, if Stripe fucks us over. But I'll look into that. I'll look into right now. Why not? Stripe Odyssey. I don't see anything in news. Is it on the Odyssey Twitter page? Let's see. They don't have any tweets since September. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't heard what you're talking about. So we'll cross that bridge when we come to it. Christpilled says, Brother Devin, if you were writing a fictional universe, what YouTubers or books would be given for giving the best tactical survival advice in that totally make-believe parallel reality? 2025 is the year we become the warriors our ancestors could only daydream about. Not sure I understand the question here. If you were writing about a fictional universe, what YouTubers or books would be giving the best tactical survival advice? I don't know. I don't really watch tactical or survival YouTube channels. I don't have, I'm sure it's not, look, that sort of stuff isn't really taboo on YouTube though. I think until recently, right? I think they demonetized a lot of gun channels recently, but a lot of that stuff's still there. So I don't think that's hard to find, the gun stuff. Rumble might be where a lot of these gun guys end up going, though, if they are demonetizing gun channels, which last time I checked, they were fairly recently. But there's probably still a lot of content there. I don't know. For me personally, I've been going camping my whole life, and I was in Boy Scouts, and, I watched some survival stuff if I had a specific question or I wanted to find out, maybe what's the best option for filtering water or, you know, what's the best backpack. If I had a specific issue, I would just start researching those things. I don't know of any general channels that cover that stuff, though, because I just don't really. I've thought about doing some stuff, just a little bit, maybe like a stream on some of the basics of what I do, but that's the problem too, is it's very specific to your area. It's very specific to your location, what you need to know, what you need to worry about, what you need to prepare. Like for me, for example, water is like a big deal because I'm in the desert. And if the grid goes down or whatever, you need to have the solar power capable of pumping a deep well, which a lot of people don't have to worry about. In fact, if you're in a lot of places in America, you can hand pump your well because your well doesn't have to go. My well goes down over 400 feet because it has to. And that's when you have a well that goes that deep, you have to have, the amperage to handle it when, you need to have like batteries that can handle that kind of draw when the pump kicks on, you know? So stuff like that, and then just having water stored on hand in case there's an issue with that, also I'm very remote, right? So having a plan for how you would get out of that situation if you needed to, and then also the local food, like what's available from foraging and from hunting. Well, it's going to be totally different for me than it is going to be for you, most likely. So it's all very specific to where you're at and what your objective is. And then there's basic stuff. Like, obviously, you should train and know how to use your gun. It's like ham radios and guns. They're the same in that you shouldn't just get a ham radio and put it in a drawer and be like, I'm good. I got a ham radio. I got communications. I'm good. And you shouldn't do that with a gun. You shouldn't be like, oh, I got a gun. Yay. I know I can shoot now. It's like, no, you can't. It's not like video games. Neither one of those things. They're not like video games. It takes practice. It takes knowledge to be able to operate comms and to be able to operate your weapon in an effective way. In fact, guns are easier than the radio, just because, at least with guns, it is sort of point and click. But you should do all that stuff recreationally to, you don't have to be like a crazy gun nut, but you need to be able to take your gun out every once in a while and go shoot it for fun, and when you're camping or whatever, just so you're familiar with it, you got that muscle memory to some extent. And you should also, I don't know how much longer, even with Trump, Trump's talking about red flag laws. Trump's the one that signed the bump stock ban. Trump was all about gun control as recently as like the, 80s and 90s. I don't know that the Second Amendment is going to be around forever. So again, you don't have to be like a crazy, I have 1,000 guns kind of guy, but I would certainly, purchase enough guns to pass down to your descendants, if nothing else. Donald Ducktator says, 2 years sober and tobacco-free, Devin. I think your analogy of the merchant handing out the harmful substances made an impact on me. There's no going back now. Thanks for all you do. Well, there you go, see? That's, I'm telling you, it is a visual that's hard to get away from. If you're addicted to cigarettes or anything like that, if you picture the actual merchant meme, like picture it as like a person, or picture it as, I was going to say picture it as this guy, right? This fucking guy, but that just makes it funny. Picture it as the actual merchant meme handing you the substance and going, yeah, goy. Yeah, do it. Do it, goy. Smoke the cigarette. But, I don't know. I can't keep looking at that fucking guy. All right. And we got, glad I could help there. Corn Pop the Bad Dude. Corn Pop the Bad Dude, everything is a rich man's trick. To some extent, that is correct. And Corn Pop the Bad Dude again says, I'm premiering my first short feature movie. I'd love if you guys would come see it. And he's got a Rumble link. Normally, I would link Fag You, but if it's, you made your first short film, I'll let other people check that out if they'd like to. The government says, to all viewers, I have listed a copy of Day of the Rope book on eBay. Bidding starts at $200. Good luck. Well, there's someone trying to make some money on one of the rare copies of the Day of the Rope. Although soon to be not as rare, I will say that, most likely. Fat-ass retarded freak! Getting creative with the names there. Hey, Devin, long-time listener, first-time caller. Here in 2022, stream called Verbum Vincent Edition. 1 hour, 23 minutes in a hyper-chatter brought up the moon landing, and you listed some doubts you had about it. You said something about NASA saying sound can't travel in space, but there being a clanging sounds in the videos, and a guy who made a documentary about the moon landing requesting archival footage from NASA, and in the footage was a third weird audio track of a voice telling astronauts when to respond to Houston to make it seem like the transmission took a long time to travel. You also said the moon landing was positive propaganda for whites in America. Curious what made you change your mind or change about this. Are you overcorrecting from schizo fatigue? No, so the sound thing, so there's both those things were true. I saw those things and was like, well, this is a little bit weird. I watched a video that NASA had where they threw I think he throws like a wrench or something, and it hits a piece of metal, and you hear there's an audible clank. And I'd heard people say, and I verified that, sound doesn't travel as easily on the moon because there's nothing for the sound to travel through, right? Well, it's not entirely true. And so that was me misunderstanding the science of that. And same thing with that other clip. So I guess if anything, that's evidence that I was willing to entertain the possibility. And I was even willing to entertain the possibility of flat Earth for like a few minutes until I realized it was retarded. But I was willing to entertain the possibility that the moon landing was positive propaganda and that it was meant to, galvanize the American people and make us feel like we were in the space age and we were going to beat the commies. It makes sense, right? Why a government would want you to believe in that. And I was willing to entertain that possibility because I am an open-minded guy, and I am aware of all the bullshit that we've been told. And I do know that there are a lot of lies that our government has convinced the people of. But upon further I'd have to look specifically at the clip that you're talking about to know I remember we were talking about the wrench thing. And it's just not like my understanding at the time that I said that was that sound did not travel on the moon. And that's just it's not 100% accurate. It's just doesn't travel as much on the moon. The other thing you're talking about, I'd have to check it and see what you're talking about to see that. But yeah, there was a time when I was like, yeah, it's possible. And now the more I've looked at it, the more I'm like, yeah, we went there. We went there with the help of Nazis. And it just is, it's nothing that there's nothing to be gained from it at this point in time either. Like there's nothing that, you know, here's one thing that should, I think, convince a lot of, well, maybe it won't actually, because they'll think that the other space programs are fake too. Four separate, or maybe even five separate space agencies of other countries have observed the original moon landing site. I mean, it's always grainy because they're usually doing it from orbit, but they've visually verified that it exists, that landing site exists in the configuration that it should. But there's lots of other stuff. That's like a whole stream. But no, there was a time I was open-minded about it, and now that I've researched it, I'm just like, nope. We went there. And I'll address, if I do a stream on it, I'll address those two things. But yeah, there was a time that I was... I'm open. Look, that's the thing is I'm open to this shit. It's just that I'm also not a retard where I don't get dogmatic about something. If the facts don't add up to that conclusion, I'm not married to it. In my mind, truth is truth.
Little baby platypus.
We haven't seen that one in a while. Thanks, Devin. Sorry if I spelled it wrong. Appreciate your streams, brother. It's not much, but it's all my cash going into my property. Just wanted to help. No, look, you have to apologize for supporting the show. Really appreciate that. And, you spelled Devin right. A lot of people spell with an I for some reason. And you did the O, so that's good. I seems feminine to me. When I see Devin with an I, it just seems like a girl name. Man of low moral fiber says adoption isn't a super easy process. You said I have my suspicions that if the adopters are Jewish, not what you said, if they're goblin Jews, it makes a lot of paperwork go away. There was a fat Jew who only adopted boys to rape and then put them on TikTok. Well, there was that couple, right, that adopted. I don't know. It's probably different from state to state. But I've known people that wanted to adopt, especially, if you want to adopt a baby, you better have a lot of money and patience. J-Ray 1981 says, let me get this straight. They let these subhumans adopt kids? We can't wrap our head around this. Yeah, it was, well, one was a teacher and one was an engineer. 1488 from Pride Assassin says, sent you a gay link a few weeks ago. It'd be a good topic for you. History Homos episode covering the book The Money Kings, written by a Jew, bragging about Jew shit. We have no power, but we made Taft a one-term president, always prefacing his bragging with racist conspiracy theories. Wait, hold on. What? Say it again. The Money Kings, written by a Jew, bragging about Jew shit. Always prefacing his bragging with racist conspiracy theories, say this. Well, I think I added it to my notes, but I'll add this as a reminder as well. There we go. Based Hank Hill says Leo Frank is one dead Jew. Yes, he is. And like I said, a friend of mine actually purchased those targets, those Leo Frank knife-wielding rapist targets. I still haven't used them yet, though. Man of low moral fiber, we're making Negroes great again. Folks, believe me, we have the best Negroes. Pride Assassin says, then outlining in detail everything the racist conspiracy theorist noticed is horrific. Thanks for what you're doing, lazy fucks. Payne Walmazon. Paying Walmazon instead of boosting their neighbors make me sick. Well, there you go, Pride Assassin. And Pride Assassin's still going. Worshipping Negro culture is gay as hell. And it's the American way, it seems like. Corn Pop, the bad dude, says, I'm not sure who said it, but the quote goes, faggots on the left, retards on the right. This is true. Patriot Spartan says, crap, I missed the beginning of the stream. No matter, I'm going to enjoy listening to the replay while in my car tomorrow. Godspeed, Devin. Well, I appreciate that. Patriot Spartan. Then Patriot Spartan again with a big dono.
Money is power. Money is the only weapon that the Jew has to defend himself with.
Look how Jewy this fag is. All right. And you say, hey, Dev, my name is Kicker Pit. I have one request. Kick me in the pit. In the pit. Well, I'll tell you what. One of the reasons I haven't been playing that pit animation lately is it's like, I think it's missing or it's broken or something. Hang on a sec. Let me look for it. You deserve a pit. But I can't. Let me see if I can find it here. My whole OBS is a big mess because of how I do these things. And there's no, I wish they had like a search, like in the source window, you could just be like, search for the word pit, and you can't. Hold on. We'll get the pit. And in fact, I'll mark it. So I'll put it in a place where I can find it next time. We haven't been doing pits lately. It's been a while, I feel like. Unless it got broken. If it got broken, I can fix it, though. Let's see. We got this. We got a lot of these things I haven't played recently. Like
it sounds Talmudic.
All right, we got this. We got this. We got this one, of course.
Doesn't really matter. Two grown, consenting adults doing whatever they want to do is their business.
Ah, but it looks like I found it.
Get in the pit.
All right. Well, thank you very much there, N7 Patriot Spartan. For the big dono there and the pit. Love and division.
Cash flow checkout.
I'd like to return this duck.
Love and division in the background music at my local 98% white clientele grocery store. I heard a hip-hop song. Thank you, Rosa Parks. I wondered if the Rosa Parks event was staged, and then I was watching your archive Family Ties edition where you said the Rosa Parks event was staged. Do you have more on this? Yeah, maybe that would be worth doing more of a stream on. My understanding is Rosa Parks was working with two Jewish members of a group that made it as, it was a PR stunt. It wasn't like, the way they tell you in school, which doesn't even make any sense, right? Because how would you have heard of it, right? Like, they make it sound like, oh, this old lady, she wanted to be nice and play by the rules, but her feet were just so tired. She worked so hard, and so she walked on the bus, and she didn't want to go all the way to the back of the bus, so she sat in the front. And the evil white people were like, you can't sit up here because you're black and we're evil and you're black. And she was like, but my poor feet are, they make it sound like it's like this whole thing. And, it's a good narrative and whatever. It's a good story, but it doesn't make any sense why you would have ever heard of it if it was just something that happened real quick. Because I'm sure like black people disobeyed those rules all the time and got in trouble. So why did we hear about this one? Well, we heard about this one. Because, like anything else, it wasn't even that unusual, right? Like, they had those sit-ins at the whites-only lunch counters, too, right? The same sort of thing. So it was just one of those. Like, they knew that the rule was the blacks couldn't sit in the front of the bus, and so they purposely, these two Jews, it's been a while, but it's worth a stream, maybe, or at least part of a stream, to get the details. But the short version is, it was two Jews that worked it as a PR event to tell a story and then spin it into some narrative into national newspapers and other media outlets to be a quick and a little viral story of the poor old black lady that just, her feet were tired. And just one more nail in the coffin for segregation in the South. It was a PR event. It was a staged event. A lot of that stuff was, though, like I said, I don't even think it's like a big secret. It's just, I don't think a lot of people know it, right? I don't think it's like, well, maybe these days, right, at this point, because it's become legendary, maybe it is a little bit of a secret. But at the time, I don't even think it was that much of a, I mean, you didn't have to peel back the onion too much to figure out what was going on there. Bill Monaghan. Bill Monaghan says, I think you'd recommend against this, but it is partly your fault. I've decided to join two other dissidents in trying to run for three seats on the Springfield City Commission this year. We're early in the signature gathering stage. We'll probably only prove that voting is pointless or that the majority really want to watch their town get parasited to death. But either way, I can leave the town with a cleaner conscience. Having tried, just watch the Oatman edition before this one. You're right about the real firsthand history being lost. I used to know a lot of old guys who knew a lot about local frontier history, but they're dead and their notes and research material have disappeared down estate sales. I dropped that ball. Helping the people made homeless around here has been a lot more beneficial than just joining people and bitching out loud about Haitian influx. Posting a YouTube short I took of a cop hassling me and some guys for dropping off firewood has helped normies see how ludicrous and evil this situation is. I've met like-minded people who see where things are headed and willing to work to help resist this shit. At least they laugh at my Auslander Rouse jokes and giving me funny looks, and there's a lot of lost causes out in the homeless camps, but there's a lot of people worth trying to help out. Thanks again for your work, Mr. Stack. Well, I appreciate that. And look, you know, at least, I don't think there's political solutions, but at the same time, if you want, that's not necessarily going to be the only thing that you might get out of an experience like running for local office. And look, to the extent that there are political solutions, it is local. So yeah, if you want to do that, go for it. And if nothing else, you'll learn a lot about how the system works, and maybe you can make some memes out of it. You know what I mean? But yeah, good luck to you, and thanks for the support there. We got Corn Pop the Bad Dude. What type of man knocks himself out with a boomerang and then sues himself for $300,000 and wins? A Rutman. I don't know if that's a WOP. I don't get the joke. I don't know if that's like Australian humor, boomerang jokes there. Caffeination.
Get a load of this.
Caffeination says, Devin, what are your thoughts on the collapse of South Africa and the rise of Orania? A member of an intentional community here in the Midwest is visiting Orania. Recently shared his experience there, or visited Orania, and recently shared his experience there. Orania is an ethnic European community surviving replacement genocide through the private sector. Yeah, I think most people are aware of its existence. I think it's a good idea. I don't know. I mean, I kind of get it. If you're tied to the land, generationally tied to the land, why you don't want to throw in the towel and you would rather just make a stand like they're doing. I don't know that that's what I would do in a place like on that. I don't know if that's the thing I would do on that continent. Let me just put it that way, on the dark continent, as we used to call it. But it's an inspiring thing what they're doing all the same. Let's see here. Pride Assassin says it took me months of scraping up documentation and cost me about $500 overall to get my driver's license in based Florida. This state is gay and retarded. Presented my license in other states and they just transferred it for $20 to $30. No waiting to request my life history. Yeah, that sucks. I've never tried to get a driver's license in Florida, but paperwork in the Southwest is always easy peasy. A lot less red tape around these parts. Hammer Thorzing says, shit's getting crazy, man. Or no, Hammerhead Cow, not Hammer Thorzing. Hammerhead Cow says, shit's getting crazy, man. Yes, it is. We got Bill Monaghan again, says there's at least 35,000 Haitians just in Springfield, Ohio. 200 officers wouldn't do jack shit out here, let alone Chicago. People here started spreading a rumor today that they saw news that ICE is coming here on Tuesday, too. They can't provide links, but people still believe it. New excuses incoming Tuesday. Yeah, I suspect there's a lot of people with a lot of hopes and dreams wrapped up in the mass deportations, the fabled. I don't know, like I said, I'm not 100. I don't have a crystal ball. Maybe I'll be surprised. Maybe I'll be pleasantly surprised, and there will be mass deportations. I suspect 200 officers in a place like Chicago with 500,000 illegals, they're going to struggle to get even a few thousand. But hey, I wish them luck. I'd be very surprised if they went to a place like Springfield. Well, plus, that's the other problem is the Haitians are there legally. That's the other issue is even if they sent ICE to Springfield, you guys, there's illegals there too, but it's the issue is the Haitians who are all there legally. And then Bill Monaghan again says, on the other hand, if ICE is really coming Tuesday, they're already here tracking where the rats are fleeing. I believe it when I see it, but it'll just be a drop in the bucket. Yeah, like I said, they're all there legally, or at least the people you want to get rid of, so it won't really matter. And yeah, that there's probably a lot of people that are temporarily going to stay at their uncle's house. Man of low moral fiber says, when I lived in New Mexico, a lot of the beaners would openly brag that they were illegal or that their parents were, and nothing was done about it. I personally called ICE and even Border Patrol myself dozens of times, even going to the Border Patrol in person once. How naive I was. Also, they are all Mexicans. Just drop them off in one of the southern Mexican states like Peru or Brazil. They'll figure it out. Hell, to discourage illegal immigration, I think all illegals should be deported to Liberia to become voodoo stew ingredients. Yeah, that's true. Everyone south of the border should be referred to as Mexicans. But the problem is, though, they're not even from even like South America or Central America, a lot of these guys now. We got people from Asia, Africa, all over the place showing up at the border through Mexico. And yeah, speaking of everyone's Mexican, when you go to ICE, the people working at ICE are often Mexican. So it is what it is. Tomato, potato, nigger. Tomato, potato, nigger says, thank you for your work, brother. Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for the support. Love and Division says, just to make it 777.77. I didn't even get to see that, but we're above that, so that's even better, I guess. Hello, Devin. This is Drain the Zogbog. Hello, Devin. Thank you for the hard work. I have been interested in HF radio for years. Notice that you have opened the show with some number stations. A particular interest of yours? Are the captures featured yours, and are you familiar with the priom.org dedicated to number station research and tracking? No, they're not mine. In fact, they're probably from that exact website posted. There are people that posted them on YouTube that I downloaded, but I think at least some of them are from that website you're talking about. But yeah, I've always thought number stations were really, I've heard a few. In fact, I did record a Cuban one, I think, once on my Frog 7, here at the Pillbox. In fact, I think I played it on a stream at one point. So I have heard them, and, it's always fun when you hear them. I always wonder, who's still doing, like, it makes sense, like in the 80s and 90s, why you would have number stations. To some extent, it makes sense why you would have them in America, too, or not America, in current year, too, because the internet is obviously very easy to track the traffic on. And, you know, you can't track who's receiving your number station, there's no technology in existence that can accurately pinpoint who's receiving those messages. So, it makes sense to a degree why they still have them, but it still makes you wonder, like, who's the spy? Who's the spy that's like busting out his little mini shortwave radio and like, with like a pencil and pen, you know, a pad of paper, writing down the numbers and then, you know, translating like the code into whatever, you know what I mean? Like, and what is it there? What are they doing? Like, are they like terrorists that are like waiting for like the secret, like the launch code to be the right number? Or, you know, I don't know. I've always been fascinated by number stations. Man of Low Moral Fiber says, Brits weren't super faggy until hard alcohol. Be wary of the distilled Jew. Well, there you go. Well, that's why they drink so much tea. In fact, that's why tea was introduced to England. They meant for it to replace the habit of drinking whiskey. You look at the early mentions of tea and being introduced into British society, and it was that was the hope, is that they would rather have a bunch of people addicted to caffeine than alcohol. Let's see here. In my mind, truth is truth. Thanks, Devin. Missed the first 34 minutes, we'll rewatch. All right, well, hope you enjoy the replay there. Blute and Biden. Bluten Biden with the terrified Corky. Will Elon start booting anyone suspected of pagetophobia? I don't know. I don't think he's going to boot them. But he might. He hasn't exactly lived up to his to the reputation, right? He hasn't really lived up to the hype. The hype of this, oh, he's the free speech savior. Unless you make fun of him not playing the video games that he's good at, right? Unless you accuse him of paying people to level up his characters, in which case he'll rage and what did he do to that guy? Where he didn't he take someone's verification away for busting him on paying some Pajit to level up his character? I mean, it's that kind of shit. Real. I knew honestly the first sign was, what did he do the second he got Twitter? Is he banned that guy that was tweeting out his flight schedule? Like there was a Twitter account that Elon was really pissed off about prior to buying Twitter, where it just tweeted out when Elon would take off and land in his plane in different parts of the world, you know, wherever it was. It's public information, right? Because the flight information is public information. And so this Twitter account, I don't know if it's automated or some autistic kid was running it, but it would just tweet out, oh, Elon's private jet landed in, you know, Monaco or, you know, whatever it was, right? At this airport at this time. And it would just in real time tweet out where he had landed and when they took off and stuff like that. And he went after Twitter, asking them to take it down prior to purchasing Twitter. And they wouldn't take it down because it's public information. It's nothing. It wasn't like some private eye following Elon all around and tweeting his location. It's stuff that anyone that just looks on the internet can find. They were just making it easier to find, I guess. And one of the first things Elon did when he bought the platform was he killed that account. And that should have been right there, all you needed to know about what he thought about free speech. It was free speech unless it pissed him off. So it really no different than anyone else. It's just, different things piss him off. So you've got a little more leeway about what you can, the censorship didn't go away. It just changed to fit his taste. Slavery to false gods says nobody should be ashamed of their pioneer forefathers, but we shouldn't gloat unapologetically about displacing people, justify it by them being primitive. As for Indians flipping off Mount Rushmore, there is plenty more mountains of for Eagle who sits to be up there for those who can chisel. I don't know. I'm not ashamed of it. And I'm unapologetic about my pioneer ancestors displacing Indians. I don't have a problem with that. Man of low moral fiber says, not to disappoint you, but I once knew a direct male descendant of Davy Crockett. He was a quarter Navajo. His dad married a half Navajo woman. He dropped out of high school. Well, there you go. Are you sure he was really a descendant of Davy Crockett, or was he just one of these guys that likes to say that? I knew a few of those. Adler Trump Jr. says another great Indian killer was Simone Kenton. He fought the Shawnee west of Virginia and was captured and tortured ritualistically. He was rescued by a fellow soldier who had deserted and was living with the Indians. He used to be very famous, and there are towns named for him. All right, well, there we go. Maybe that'll be an interesting guy to research, huh? All right. Bill Monaghan again. I want to endorse the idea of reprinting Day of the Rope. I lost my copy in the house fire. It was in the bathroom. I was rereading it there in the mornings. I did save some books at least. Yeah, well, that'll happen this year. It'll get part one. Even if part two is not done yet, I'll get part one out there. It's been too long. Amos Burton says, hi, Devin. Don't fag tag me, but there was a Odyssey notification about them dropping Stripe here. Okay. Let me see here. All right. So this is, might as well read this here. We're dropping Stripe, the payment processor we're using. It's one thing if Stripe doesn't want certain creators in Odyssey to be able to use their service for monetization because of their own policies. We get that. Most people get that. Forcing Odyssey to restrict users from using Odyssey because they don't align with Stripe's policy. Or wait. Policies not ours is where we draw the line. That's nonsensical and also none of your business who we platform. We are working with Stripe to facilitate fiat-based creator payments. The arrangement was fine until it wasn't. Recently, a couple of users in Odyssey complained to Stripe about other Odyssey users that they didn't like who were using Stripe. They complained about content being in violation of Stripe policy. Don't ask us why those creators did that. It only takes a few to spoil a good thing. This prompted Stripe to take a look into many creators on Odyssey and request their demonetization if they didn't align with their policy. We understood their angle. It's their choice who they want using their service. It wasn't like they were asking us to kick them off Odyssey either. We observed some mistakes they made with demonetization after the fact, though, and we helped those creators get remonetized with Stripe later. If that was the conclusion of this matter, everything would be fine, but it wasn't. Stripe now wants to know all about our users. They want us to collect all kinds of sensitive information about you because Stripe doing checks as the money transmitter is not enough. Users would go through a prior round of arbitrary checks first. That's not the worst offense, though. Stripe requests Odyssey incorporation of third-party moderation tools to ensure everything Odyssey users post in alignment with their own policy, even if those users aren't even using Stripe for blah, blah, blah. All right, what's next? We're developing a new monetization tools which provide creators with their greater autonomy and lower fees. Switching to another centralized payment processor like Stripe would likely cause similar issues in the future. So we're embracing blockchain technologies for better freedom of transaction. Odyssey will no longer take any cuts, tips, purchases, rentals, or blah, 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 processing fee for memberships, transactions, blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. All right, our goal, blah, blah, blah. All right. Limited Stripe features. Tipping memberships and purchases will remain available while we work on a new solution. Here's what we're doing in the meantime. No new Stripe creator accounts. So no, all right, so that doesn't affect me. Odyssey premium memberships will be canceled. Doesn't really affect me. I don't do that. Implementing alternative. We're working on the side, blah, blah. By February 3rd, so that's next month, Stripe will cancel all creator memberships through members-only perks, blah, blah, blah. I don't do that. Disable Stripe-based tipping, so that's Hyper Chats will go away, I guess. And settle any final creator payments. All right, so we have till February 3rd until Stripe goes away. So Hyper Chats will go away on the 3rd. Which again, whatever, we'll get around it. We'll figure out, like I said, when we'll use Power Chat or something like that. Content creators and users, blah, 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 blah. All right. So what you can do now, blah, 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 blah. Okay. Blah, blah. Blah, blah. Okay. Well, all right. Well, I'll tell you what. We'll figure it out. Not the end of the world by any means. It just sounds like Hyper Chats will go away in about 10 days or so. And then by that time, we'll have to sign up with Power Chat or something like that. I'll look and see what a good third party one is. It might be Power Chat. I hear people using that. And once I get that set up, I'll let everybody know. And then, you know, it is what it is. It's a little bump in the road, not a big deal. But yeah, thanks for saying that. I had no idea this was going on. This is as of, I guess this happened 2 days ago. It says the 17th. Wish they would have tweeted that out. But, you know, like, who's supposed to see this? But, all right, well, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? All right. We'll get it figured out. Not awesome, but we'll get it figured out. Opera Commandant says, hey, Devin, great stream as usual. Nowadays, it feels like the asylums got emptied out and the insane walk the streets. Bring back insane asylums and bring back lobotomy. We should mass sterilize these crazy straight-up eugenics would be practiced. Yeah, you know, it's what we did. It's what we used to do in this country. People don't realize that, but that's what we used to do. We would sterilize liberally and lobotomize liberally. Glock 23 says, what are you going to do about Odyssey's new paint? Well, someone just asked that. No, look, for right now, we'll stay in Odyssey until we get the third-party tipping thing going, because that's what everyone's used to going to. And we'll see. We'll see if Odyssey figures it out and see if Odyssey comes up with their alternative. If they do some gay crypto thing, I don't think I'm going to be down with that. But maybe, you know, maybe that's what they'll do. So we'll see. We still got Rumble, and there's other content sites that would be happy to have us. So I don't think it's not the end of the world. It's, like I said, we've done this before. We'll do it again. Would have been convenient if it kept going, but, you know, it is what it is. Rivers of Blood. Rivers of Blood says, if you want to know why there are many homeless bums, David Rosenhan authored an influential study of misdiagnosis and mistreatment at state mental institutions. This led to widespread closure of such institutions and a burgeoning homeless population in the U.S. Best part is, he made it all up. Well, that might be worth a stream. I'll add that to my notes. Surprise, surprise, right? Oh, a Jew did it. Who's? I am surprised not at all. Screen Age! Screen Age says, someone mentioned silent weapons for quiet wars. Do you have an opinion on whether it's a hoax? I'm arriving late, so apologies if that's the whole stream has been about. What? Silent weapons for quiet wars? I don't know what that is. I'll look that up. Is that like a book or something? What is this? It is a book? Or no, it's an album? I don't know what this is. It's like books, and there's lots of things named that. So, I know. The stream's not about that, though. I have no idea what you're talking about. Richard says, I like your last stream making fun of the Chugwaffen. I know they don't get put on a pedestal like blacks nowadays, but noble savage types need to be put in their place, and these are all Jewish media tropes. They must be replaced with good white ones. Exactly. Like the good old-fashioned frontiersmen with a coonskin cap blasting engines away. Bill Monaghan.
When you're trying to save money, a good rule to follow is to...
Take it from me, Jim Neighbors. It'll pay dividends.
Bill Monaghan says, Simon Kenton was captured and tortured dozens of times right here around Springfield. He was awesome, and his rep has been tarnished. Last week I ordered a first edition copy of The Frontiersman by Alan Eckerd. It's born of deep research into primary documents, but I think it's also kind of early woke. Someone mentioned that last stream as well. Richard says, you don't understand, evil white man. We could have developed modern agriculture technologies and similar things, but we were, it went away. What happened? But we were too busy being spiritual and in touch with the land and stuff, as well as being peaceful. Now, if you'll excuse me, I must cannibalize my neighbor. Chief Talking Fib. Exactly. In my mind, truth is truth, says Entropy. They take less money from you. Oh, that was the other one, too. Yeah, I forgot about those guys. That's not a bad one. The only thing, aren't they a Canadian company? I'm always loathe, not that I hate Canadians, but like they have, they have different laws. It's always iffy going with companies that are beholden to foreign governments. Bass Hank Hill says, when I hear songs like Indians by Anthrax and Run to the Hills by Iron Maiden, it pisses me off now. Check out the book Scalp Dance by Thomas Goodrich. Well, there you go. Yeah, there's a couple Indian dick-sucking songs from like the 80s and 90s. There was a whole lot of that going on. Basically, beginning, I'd say like around the 60s. And it probably peaked in the 80s and 90s. You don't hear about it that much anymore. Bill Monaghan says, some guy named Alexander Thorm, or Thome, decades later wrote a book on Simon Kenton and Tecumseh called Panther in the Sky. It was way woke. Tecumseh was the hero, and he would do book tours accompanied by his hot chick with lots of Native American admixture. I think she was his wife, marketing man. Yeah, like that's probably, like I said, peaking around the 80s and 90s. In my mind, truth is truth, says they moved. Who's they moved? Oh, Entropy moved. They're not in Canada anymore. Well, that's good. Like the Entropy, or I don't know if she's still there, but some Entropy chick messaged me like years ago. I think I was like, it was before I was even on Odyssey. And she was like, oh, I'll show you how to do it. And I was like, well, I don't really need it. So I go, maybe I'll see if she's still alive or around and set that up. All right, going over to Rumble. We got Rupert V21 saying, that's how I feel when I drink. The Jew meme is telling me to consume goy slop. It's always a good visual. Once you get that in your head, effectively, it's hard to get it out of your head. Who's Joe says, physiognomy, check. Demonic-looking Jews do demonic-looking things. I can't imagine who you could mean, who you could possibly mean when you say that. Who's Joe again says, political Americans, people who aren't in the dissident right, have poor political takes, like the blue tards, who thought Kansas would flip, and the Q-tards. Great betting odds against these geniuses. You're talking about the political gambling someone mentioned last stream? Yeah, I mean, I guess you can probably make a lot of money doing that if you're not retarded. I was trying to think of a better word than that. Who's Joe again says, hey, Devin, what are your thoughts on looks maxing and black pill on dating? Looks are very important in the age of online dating. I think everyone should learn looks maxing. Greatly improves health. Absolutely. I'm a big proponent of that. And not just for dating. You always want to present the best version of yourself. It helps you in all aspects of life. This whole message that a lot of people got, like from the boomers, that, what's on the outside doesn't matter. It's what's on the inside. Beauty and the Beast. Like, that's all fucking bullshit. It is the outside that matters. It matters way more than the inside, actually. Like, I mean, it shouldn't. It sucks that that's the case, right? Oh, I mean, to some degree, you can make the argument. But it's still the truth. You can be way more successful as a mediocre, good-looking guy than a smart, bad-looking guy. And I don't just mean that in the dating world. You can be more successful in your career and in everything. People just treat you nicer when you look nicer. That's just the way that it is. They always say, you know, dress for the job that you want, not the one that you have. Or comedians will say, you know, like Steve Martin said in his autobiography that he learned, one of the first lessons he learned was when doing stand-up, you need to outdress the audience because it kind of makes you, that's, your jokes are funnier. Your jokes are funnier when they think that you're cooler than they are, you know? That's just the way that it, that's the way the world works. Lekisir says, /, appreciate that. Who's Joe says, on Looks Maxine, I think Oscar Patel and Baby Stickley are good influences to listen to. Eating organic, avoiding toxins, hormone disruptors, and working out, hormone maxing, all help improve looks. Well, I don't know who those people are, but there's a recommendation from Who's Joe, although one of those sounds very Pajiti with the Patel last name. Bystander Syndrome says, is wearing the gay cap and kissing the wall like Hollywood making black guys wear the dress or humiliation rituals? Well, I mean, yeah, in a way, it's, you are bending the knee. It's kissing the ring. Absolutely. Who's Joe says, hey, Devin, I want to shill so you can interact with Rumble Live chat. Shout out to Rumble Clan. Well, there you go. Yeah, well, and Rumble, who hopefully does not have any issues with Stripe, so we'll still have Rumble there. Cypher says, hey, Devin, are you familiar with Samuel Roth? I was reading about him in the Merchants of Sin book. He seems like a character to do a whole stream on. The Merchants of Sin book, huh? Samuel Roth. I've done a lot of streams on, like, scam Jews. Samuel Roth sounds like a scam Jew. I think that was a scam Jew, right? Let me look. Scam Jew, Samuel Roth, the Sam, da 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 da. Samuel Roth. There's a bunch of Samuel Roths, unfortunately. And usually with scam Jews, they don't like to put the bad one up front. So, I'll add the name to my notes. And if he ends up not being a scam Jew that I've covered, then maybe we'll check into it. But it sounds like a scam Jew I've covered recently. Anime Extremist says, you mentioned Power Chat. Power Chat has Fed involvement in directly seeing the real identities of donations and what they post. Don't believe me? Look up Kiwi Farms pages regarding Power Chat. All right, well, there you go. I've never looked into them at all, but I'll look into whoever we end up using. I'll vet thoroughly. So good to know. Cypher says he was a Polish self-hating Jew who wrote the book The Jews Must Live, a book about how bad Jews were and how they damaged the world, but also was a prominent pornographer publisher, super schizo too. Well, he's a Jew. I mean, he's Eastern European Jews, a lot of schizo genes in that pool. Anime Extremist says the real conspiracy about Flat Earth is that it is manufactured fake and gay theory by the government to discredit believers of other legitimate conspiracy theories to make them look stupid and crazy. Big agree. Anime Extremist says Flat Earth is also used by the government to gauge how gullible segments of the population could be to believe something so retarded, also gather the reasons as to why they'd believe it. Possible. Who's Joe says, if super chats are going away, I would recommend Entropy. I believe Ed Dutton uses that and allows people to send in chats before the show, letting Replay Gang participate too. Yeah, I think, I don't know why I forgot about Entropy, but yeah, he uses it. I think JF uses it. I think I'm forgetting. I know other people use it too. So I'll take a look at them. At the very least, we'll use it in the interim while Odyssey gets their shit together and figures out what they're going to do. Anime Extremist says, Josh Moon from the Mad at the Internet live stream has implemented a new thing to process payments called Monero chat or something like that. People send Monero, which is encrypted, with a message. Yeah, Monero is another option. I don't know, though. The crypto, I mean, it's a good idea, but it's so volatile. It's not something I want to have as, like, the main thing, you know what I mean? It's you know, crypto prices are just all over the fucking place, and it makes me nervous about just using that. Because then, you know, you could seriously, like, lose half your money if you don't stay on top of, you know, or you double your money, I guess, if you don't stay on top of it. Who's Joe says, I got to step up when Negro Spritzer isn't here. And then he discusses all of the various groups in which he has a large distaste for. Many groups of people who he might not even see as people based on his feelings expressed here. And then Negro Spritzer, apparently, who no slack was needed to be taken up, has reasserted his displeasure of all things not white. And then who's Joe? Shout out to Unreconstructed Rebels, Southern Pride Worldwide. All right, guys. Well, let me double check Odyssey before we shut things down here. Let's see here. Just want to make sure. All right, we got a couple here. Let's see here. In my mind, truth is truth is entropy. They take less money from you. Bass Tank Hill says, when I hear songs like Indians. Oh, we already did those, actually. Did this one as well. Here we go. My fat little retarded toe. My fat little retarded toe, there are hundreds or hundred-ish third worlders being flown into a small city in an hour from me. The NGO flying them is called Soft Landing, and their office is literally one block away from a synagogue. You can easily get names and other info about these groups by looking up their 990 tax forms. It's public information. The more you know. I need to have one of those things, one of those the more you know buttons. Mark Twain Forever says, I have a new job running boilers at night. One of the perks is I'm no longer replay gang. Well, welcome to the live show, Mark Twain Forever. That sounds like an exciting, adventurous job you've got there running the boilers at night. So enjoy getting paid to just watch the boilers there. And I don't know, unless there's some kind of complicated boiler system over there. I'm assuming you get to be on autopilot. In my mind, truth is truth says flat earth, round earth, hollow earth, who cares? Focus on the Jew problem. All right, and with that, I'm going to bid you guys all a good evening. We'll be back here on Wednesday. And again, thanks for the support. And don't worry about the Stripe situation. We'll figure it out, as we always do. And don't forget to check out Mark Collette's video. I highly recommend it. Like I said, it's like a masterclass in dealing with obnoxious British reporters. All right, in the meantime, for Blackpilled, I am, of course, Devin Stack.
In this day, as in ancient time, there are some who have not been given the privilege at this point of holding the priesthood of the church. Among those who do not have this privilege are those of African Negro ancestry.
The term priesthood requires some definition because this church has no professional clergy. Religious leaders are laymen, all males. At age 12, they are eligible for membership in the priesthood. Joining the priesthood is more important for Mormon boys than a christening for Catholics or a bar mitzvah for Jews. Young priesthood members serve communion, and only priesthood members can advance to positions of higher religious leadership. You cannot be a woman or a so-called Negro.